You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who has put a secret advantage underneath your chair. And if you don't find it, I won't be mad, but I'll be a little disappointed. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our feedback show here for episode number 8 of Survivor 42. And we are so fortunate to have here with us on a great week on Rob Has a Podcast. We just came off of a recap episode with Angelina Cardona-Keeley. Really fun interview. Highly suggest you check that out. We have another incredible woman here with us to talk Survivor. Please welcome in one of the, on the Mount Rushmore of the feedback show guests. Here is Hannah Shapiro. Hannah Lil Nessin. Hannah, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm honored to be back. I love the RHAP community, and I'm jazzed. I'm a little nervous. I think I'm out of my podcasting juices, but I'm ready to go.
No, I don't know. I don't think you can run out of the juices. They are always replenished, and it is so good to have you back here with us on the Survivor Feedback Show, Hannah.
I mean, it's awesome to be here. I asked you specifically to say, tell me that you love having me on this podcast.
Oh, I love having you on the podcast. Did I not unlock the secret advantage?
Sure. I was trying to, in honor of Chanel, who, when she got voted off, Hi said, "We love you, Chanel." And she had the best response this week. She went, sure.
Sure.
That's what I was going for. Sure. The Chanel, in honor of our booted lady, to do the really sassiest response to being voted off I've seen. Subtle, but sassy.
A little subtle and sassy. Like yourself. The two S's.
Yeah, I mean, I just found it to be very underhanded. I wish I could pull off a sure to someone telling me they love me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really funny.
She wasn't buying it, because if you loved her, why did they vote her out?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it was the general goodbye everyone well wishes their first jury member, and she wasn't having it.
She wasn't
having
it.
And I appreciated it.
Yeah. But I am so happy that you are here back with us, that this is always like a really fun experience. I thought it worked out so well last season where you had not watched the season. And then to get ready to come on and talk with us, then you watch the whole season. So you've consumed all of Survivor 42 in the last week.
Yeah, I tend to watch it like a movie, you know? Wow. I tend to, right before I podcast, I had about 6 episodes to prep. And so I sat down this week and started from the beginning. Once again, Jeff, you know, addressing us in these monologues. And I've just watched it through like a great action flick.
Yes.
It's
been a lot of Survivor this week. So we can get your download on everything going on in season 42. Let me just give some programming notes here. I mentioned the Angelina podcast. That was a really fun one. Definitely
go check
that
it out. She's great.
Go check it out. Of course, we are going to have another podcast this week. Nasir from Survivor 41. Everybody loves Nasir.
Hey!
I'm going to check in with Nasir coming up on Sunday. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to drop that one on Sunday night for everybody. And then we'll have Jessica Leese on the Survivor Academy. That's a brand new show that I do for the patrons of Rob's podcast to get people ready to go play in future seasons. You wish you could have had something like that?
I wish I knew what a podcast was before I left and played Survivor. I can say that confidently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, I thought a podcast was a 5-minute long song type thing that you listen to in bits. So I was 105 and did not know what a podcast was. I wish I had been a part of the Academy.
Wow. 5-minute podcast. I mean, that would free my whole day up.
You just come in, you give the bullet points, and then you leave.
All right. I mean, this would be, we'd be getting ready to wrap up right now.
Yeah, so thank you so much for listening.
Hannah, what else do you have going on these days?
You can find me at Hannah Lil Nessen if you liked what you heard here.
Yeah, thank you so much. And then, of course, we'll be back next time with another 5-minute podcast.
No, I'm glad I'm ready to do our typical 5 hours. Rob, I feel like we've had a long, chatty friendship. It's just the best. I like doing this every season. I'm always willing and excited to watch 6 episodes just to come talk to you about it.
Yeah. I mean, it has been a minute since we started doing these. So that of course, you played in Survivor. What was that? It was back. It was the fall of 2016.
It was the first or second season of the show.
It was the first or second season of the show.
It was black and white back then, the way they filmed it.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst had just turned 18. Yes. He was a young boy just out of high school.
He just moved to Seattle. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At this point, though, I love when people back in the days when they were, I saw other humans in RHAP party situations. Yeah. I loved when people would come up to me and say that they liked me on the podcast. Oh, and Survivor too.
Yeah.
Like that it was the second thought.
That was your second credit.
I'm happy to bring my island experience to a podcast, but I do like that the podcasting has taken over.
Yes.
You were on this show, I believe, as well.
Yes, many, many years ago.
Wild times.
Wild times. That blows some people's minds. Some listeners don't know, so a lot of the survivors don't know. This is
This is inside information that Rob and I were on the show.
If you're just joining us, yes, we are. You are listening to two veterans of Survivor talking shop.
Wow. There's like two listeners that just threw down their drink in surprise.
Yes. Minds are blown. Okay. Speaking of blowing minds, tell us, Hannah, what are your thoughts here of Survivor 42? Because in some ways, you've been prepared for this because you saw Survivor 41. So
you kind of
got like, all right, got your toes in the water. Okay, so you kind of know what this is.
Yeah, the monster was birthed in 41. But now, as Jeff Probst says, the monster is hungry. I mean, my favorite part of the new era of Survivor is that it's a bit funnier, I think.
Yes.
And I appreciate when a show is silly. For like, this has been the season of fake blood. And if you had explained to like a season 3 contestant that there'd be an era of fake blood, they might be confused.
Well, that would be really wild because in season 3, they drank real blood.
Oh.
Yeah. So that would be a real curveball.
Turnaround.
Like, okay, so like you see all the real blood we're doing stuff with? Okay, well, eventually we're going to do fake blood. They might
blood.
That sounds worse.
I think this new era has positives and negatives. And I think a positive is the goofiness. Another positive is the diversity in stories. I've loved like the multiple check-ins about different religions this season.
Sure.
On a show that historically has been very Christian centered in its prayer. I can say from my time on the island, even. And I still love the flashbacks to people's lives. I'm still a bit more of a fan of the 39-day format. We're on day like 3 now of the show, and so that I'm iffier about. I always,
believe it's day 16.
All right. It's day 16. Listen, I'm not negating the fact that they don't have rice. It's hard. But it's been like 2 weeks. Everyone can calm down. Rob and I lived on the island for like 100 days. Mm-hmm. You don't lose your mind till after day 28.
Combined between the two of us, we have roughly 100 days.
Roughly 100 days. I think the cast is fantastic. I'm really enjoying the different sort of breakout stars of this cast. And
who's your breakout star? Who's your one person?
I mean, in terms of the person making the best TV that I think is dynamic and stands out, I would 100% give that award to Marianne.
Marianne.
I think she is incredible casting. I think she, you know, people ask a lot, like, how do I get on the show? Like, what's the trick? I mean, it's to be unfiltered. It's to be Marianne throughout the process of casting. She's so, everything is on her face and on her. Her heart is just worn on her 16-day sleeve. And I think the whole cast is fantastic. But I think in terms of, you know, breakout character, I mean, Marianne.
Marianne. That's a great
answer. In terms of character, yeah.
Very good.
Who do you think? You have a breakout character?
I mean, I think that Marianne has certainly been a big star this season. You know, there's some people that really feel like Jonathan has stolen the different aspects of the show.
I after watching Jonathan in the first challenge, in which he did not turn the boat, he like pulled it sideways. I called my boyfriend up and apologized. Because yes. I said I got so flustered. I watched the Avengers. I was late to the Avengers game.
Yes, but
he sort of has that superhuman quality, and it's wild to watch in challenges. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I that's a good answer as well.
Good answer.
That's a good answer.
Okay, so this week we saw. Yeah. Chanel go out of the game. Do you have any thoughts on Chanel and her situation this season?
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on every aspect of it. I think we're really seeing a bunch of different things at play. But one of it is just getting, like Chanel said, getting in the numbers at the merge, you know, a big core alliance has formed, and that usually happens every season. I know at our merge, it definitely happened. We had sort of a quieter majority alliance that began to emerge. Luckily, I was a part of it. But we're really seeing that the pre-merge game is very different than the post-merge game, but everything that happens really affects every part of the show. Mm-hmm. So this majority alliance that has formed is because different clusters. Oh no, I'm going to get a trust clusters comment by saying this, but different clusters of people have trust and form this majority based on what happened in the pre-merge part of the game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think it's very difficult, to come out from that. I mean, obviously, last season, you can be on the bottom and find your way in a winning position, but it's much harder.
Mm-hmm. So it looks to me like next week, we're going to see the thing where they get to the final 10, and they're going to split up into two groups of five. And I feel like that, and I don't know if it like where I can sort of like send in this suggestion. But I feel like that they, if they are going to do that in a season, I think that they should have done it this week. I think that you get to this point where at the final 11, and we had the same thing last season. This was the week that Tiffany went out, where there's just like a big group that's like a big, like amoeba. And it's, if anything, they're just like trying to find like, okay, who's the safe person that we could vote out? I think they've tried to do this rice negotiation twice, which sort of like is a little interesting, but it doesn't end up like really changing the dynamics. And I think that what they do here with, they're going to split into two groups of five potentially next week. And then we end up losing the final nine vote in modern day Survivor. I think there's really only three votes that are like very much very important. That's at like 5, 7, and 9. And I think by splitting into two groups at 11, I think it's sort of like you end up, okay, now this is like an intriguing vote as opposed to the final 11 vote, which is kind of just like a runaway of just like picking off one of the people that's like not bothering anybody on the bottom. And then we end up having then, you know, and then do the final 10 vote, which is again, 10 is like too big of a number. But then now we have a real final nine. We can maybe see like a big flip happen.
Yeah, I think that's too
nerdy.
About,
was that too nerdy to talk about here?
No, I think if you didn't understand that, sign up for Patreon in the Academy and Rob will spend 6 to 7 hours breaking down that 30-second answer.
So basically, like the thing that they're going to do next week, like if they want to do that, I wish they would do it one vote earlier and we would have basically lose the final 11, the final 10, which I think is like the softest and worst part of a Survivor season. And then get to, okay, all right, final nine is like the first time that we could see like, all right, a group of five is going to emerge at the final nine. And now we're gonna lose that because that we'll have our final 10 and final nine vote here in groups of five, potentially.
No, I do understand what you're saying, because at this point, with this many people and such a big, solid group in the majority, people
it's
are
untenable.
Going to be too... It, well, also, people are too... You know, it's not the time to like attack people within your own alliance. It's just that would go completely against your plan. There's not just one or two people on the bottom. There's three or four. So you have your options. People don't want to rock the boat and lose the majority. There's a couple options to bounce between. You're right. It's not the most interesting. And maybe now's the time to split. I just think modern day Survivor is doing this thing and you're the expert. But from my perspective, it's like, it's almost like if there are less twists or less splits, then you get to see people's strategy more and it gets to be more complex strategy because you see the playing board that you're working with. But with these constant switches and random places you're put in, sometimes it's actually less intense strategy because you're just trying to navigate.
You're just trying to be safe. Right.
You're trying to be safe. And so you're not seeing the dynamics within a bigger group as clearly. In general.
Yeah.
Terms of splitting it up.
We talk about that a lot during Big Brother when they throw all these powers into the game and everything that's going on. And I think that is like definitely like a very good point. I'm just saying like what you were saying earlier, like we had Tori was on the bottom. Ooh, Tori won immunity. And it's like, no big deal. We still have like Chanel to go after. And if not Chanel, then we have Romeo to go after.
And if not Romeo, hypothetically Marianne.
We have no shortage of people on the bottom to put the vote on. So like, because there's so many people in the big group, nobody really cares who it ultimately is going to be.
Yeah, I think that, I'm curious. And it becomes a thing too, when you keep splitting it constantly of the luck of who you happen to be with too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Which we've seen. Yeah.
All right. So, let's get into a little bit of Romeo versus Chanel. We saw Romeo get very paranoid about being the person who was at the bottom.
If I had my bell, I would press it but like a buzzer, like, yeah. Yep. I don't like this whole Romeo paranoid narrative. This episode was like a paranoid person's worst nightmare, which is that the paranoia is real. This narrative that Romeo is paranoid. And yes, Chanel had the strategy of like, I'm going to sit at camp. If they can't see me, like they can't vote me off. If I don't move, like don't move. You know, I don't seem paranoid. But this whole idea that Romeo was paranoid from my perspective seemed bogus. I mean, not only was Romeo the backup vote to Chanel, he's also fully on the bottom. The idea being that if, you know, once Chanel goes or Tori goes, he's next. He's picking up on the fact that his closest allies, the people he thought he was closest to, someone like Drea, are not working with him anymore. And he's vocalizing that. Everything he's saying is true. And that's not to say that perception doesn't become reality and the majority should paint him as paranoid. That's a good strategy. Mm-hmm. But there were a few people, especially high this episode, that seemed to really get annoyed by Romeo's quote unquote paranoia. And it's almost like high started to believe his own act about it, because Romeo is fully on the bottom and it's not paranoia. He is listing facts. Yeah. Now, did he go about it the right way? Probably not. I don't know. He's in a tough spot. I don't know how he should have. But let's not call him realizing the situation paranoia.
Yeah, I got kind of indignant about how we told him he was safe. Now we have to go after him. Romeo tweeted out this week, if being paranoid, he used hashtag paranoid. I don't know why he needed to get in on I don't even think I should click on the paranoid hashtag to see who else
let's
is using
not.
It. If being paranoid really means being aware of my surroundings and trying to shake things up when things are not going in my favor, then yes, I am always paranoid. Shrug emoji, hashtag survivor. Same, big same, big same.
Hold on a sec. My cast was on such good behavior. We were never allowed to tweet defenses. If I could have tweeted defenses during my season, I would have cleared up and tweeted a lot of defenses.
Twitter would have been lit.
It would have been lit up with hashtag paranoia. But good for this cast. They get to tweet and
they get to be loosey goosey. I think season 41, they were kind of, I feel like that they were kind of a little bit more like, that they needed to, run things past. Now I think it's a little bit,
they're all loosey goosey, but Romeo, you're not wrong. We all saw that.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong. You weren't hashtag paranoid. Again, I don't know what the behavior was actually being out there. That's something that's hard to say. But again, he lost his... I mean, and Andrea did say in the very beginning, the most confusing breakage of a pair for me initially this episode was Drea being like, I wanted to work with Romeo and now he's acting all paranoid. So maybe there is more that we're not seeing before this, but Drea pulled Roxroy into the alliance and not Romeo. I know I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
So some good stuff about Romeo all around. That when I rewatched the episode, everybody's talking about like, oh, Romeo, he's getting paranoid. Big problem. Uh-oh. But honestly, if you're in the big alliance, don't you want isn't this the perfect scenario where you're voting out Chanel? Don't you want Romeo as paranoid as possible? So maybe he plays whatever advantage he has. Romeo's so paranoid. He's playing his shot in the dark tonight. Great. Now we vote him out next time. I kind of felt like that. Wait, who cares if Romeo is getting super paranoid? We're voting out Chanel.
Well, you don't want Chanel and Romeo to both play their shot in the dark.
They're both going to hit on their shot in the dark now. The chances, I think the chances are less than 1% that could happen.
Isn't it 2 out of 12?
But
then each of them.
Yeah. So it's basically, it's 2 out of 12, but it's basically 1 out of 6, times 1 out of 11. I think, look, this is not my, but basically it would be.
Mike, we're not well-versed in calculus.
Right.
Yeah. I think someone who's handling it well in the majority alliance is Omer. He seems to be building relationships and keeping his options open with each of these people, quote unquote, at the bottom, including Romeo. He calmly was like, I'll check out the scene for you. Yeah. I mean, Omer had the advantage that he didn't vote, so they didn't quite know where he stayed. I guess I'm fine with if the strategy is to paint this person as you can't work with them because, there's always going to be a next vote. You want people to have targets. I guess I was confused by what seemed like by a bunch of people, a genuine anger at a paranoia that was real. I thought that was funny. And now the next person that's paranoid on Survivor is going to be like, am I paranoid or am I Romeo? He's going to become a thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's hope for Romeo? Do you think, can Romeo rebound from this?
I really enjoyed the moments we saw of Romeo earlier in the season. We saw him looking for, the idol with Drea. We saw him bonding with Hai about coming out to his family. I just think that perception is reality, unfortunately, on Survivor. You could be screaming the correct answer to the calculus problem. But if everyone out there is saying, no, that's the wrong answer on Survivor, if the math only adds up to what the group says the math adds up to.
Right. It's like truth you're on The Price is Right. You know what the answer is, but the audience is like, seven.
Exactly. And unfortunately on Survivor, even if you get the answer right, if the audience all says it's seven, the answer's changed to seven. Everything is whatever the, it's a game
it's
of
more Family Feud than Price is Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're trying to guess what the group is saying. Right.
You're just trying to guess. And unfortunately for Romeo, you know, whether or not it's true, he's not just on the bottom. He has this perception now of being paranoid, harder to work with, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, Hai even said it, I believe, during the car metaphor that Probst got all jazzed about.
Okay.
He was saying perception is reality. I believe he mentioned perception. That's what it is. So I think Romeo, it's looking tough for our boy Romeo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hannah, this is the feedback show. We have a lot of questions. Yeah. We got, according to Sam Moore, we got three times as many feedback voicemail questions for you here on the feedback show than we get on a typical week.
I'm so flattered. I love, I love the voicemail podcast. You know, you and I used to do the regular pod, and I said, I want to hear.
Forget that.
I want to hear from the listeners. Forget the main pod. Yeah, I said, screw that. I said, I trade in this for the voicemails. I like hearing from people. And the fact that listeners, I guess, got excited or maybe they just, everyone just had collectively a slower week and decided to send it in.
All right.
I'm honored. I can't wait to hear from people.
I've got a question for you. And this is from our great friend, Alex Forstenhausler.
Right.
Alex Forstenhausler here, longtime listener, second time caller. My question is for Hannah. Given Survivor's newfound propensity for silliness, as seen by the fake blood and random phrases, what do you think is the next stage in the evolution of silly twists?
Okay.
The Hannah, evolution. Yes.
In the evolution of silly twists, do you have anything?
Yes. Okay. I have a lot. First of all, I love this question. Alex, you know, total disclosure because he deserves a shout out. Every time before I podcast, I nervously call Alex to be like, here's what I think of the season. Yes. He's a great sounding board.
I can't believe
so
this
I
is
his
second voicemail in the history. I have to fact check that. That can't be right.
I always tell him, I go, send in a voicemail. I never know what's coming, but I want to give him that shout out.
Okay.
I think we should have a returnee season, but everyone's in a mask of a different player.
Okay.
So you don't know who you're playing against the whole time. So Boston Rob is in a Parvati mask.
Okay.
Is it a full body
Parvati suit?
I think now that I'm hearing
like,
it,
I kind of feel like that, yeah, that, like, even if you had like a Mission Impossible perfect Parvati mask. Like, I do feel like that Boston Rob, I think the body would give it away.
Jonathan has to play as Angelina.
Okay.
Just really, this is not a legit answer. This is going to get people annoyed. That might go too far. It's fair. I think the more silliness, the better, though.
All right.
I love the fake blood. I love silly phrases. My favorite part of the silly phrase this season is that, like, Drea spent so much energy, like, really incorporating her phrase in a natural way. And then Mike just went, I have to say something. I cry at soccer. So I think the more silliness, you know, I think you should have to put on more costumes.
Yeah. All right.
I think you should have to do weirder stuff.
Hannah, okay. All right. Here's what I have for you. Longtime listeners know that I am a humble man. Okay. I do not toot my own horn very often.
Toot it.
But to everybody listening, sit up a little straighter in your chair and figure out a way to petition Survivor, because I'm about to tell you the greatest idea I've ever had.
Let's hear it. My signature pen is ready.
Get ready, Hannah, because that the next great Survivor twist, please, Survivor producers, if you're listening.
Drum roll.
Okay. It's called The Smelly Hidden Immunity Idol. Okay.
That's brilliant.
All right. And now here's what I need you to help me decide. Does the hidden, the smelly hidden immunity idol smell delicious? Is it basically like a cinnamon roll? Or does the smelly hidden immunity idol smell disgusting?
I think it has to smell putrid.
Putrid.
I think the closer you get, the more physical sensory pain you have to be in.
Yes. Okay. Because that, first off, you know, as a Survivor player, your sense of smell is, and I have never experienced this in any other time of my life outside of playing Survivor. I have never had a more heightened sense of smell than when playing Survivor. You could, the production people are around, it's like, oh, yeah, Cheetos. You had a beer last night. Like you are on top of it. You know exactly. Uh-huh. You have an incredible sense of smell when you're playing Survivor. You're so hungry. Yes.
What if there's one putrid and that's the beware idol, and there's one delicious and that's the positive one?
Perhaps
there's one of each.
Well, and I think that maybe if there's two tribes, maybe you have one person, like there's a yin and a yang to it. One person on one tribe has the disgusting smelling, like it smells like a skunk. It has to be different than BO. This is important. Okay.
Okay.
Has to be different than it. Make sure it's not BO scented. Yes.
I love this. No, I have my own silly pitch after. I love this. Okay.
And then the other person gets a delicious. Now, it has to be something that's waterproof. Like, I don't work at Glade or any of these like air freshener companies. Okay.
Right.
But that then, imagine you're walking around with the smell of cinnamon roll wafting off of you and people are like, what's that? What is that? What is that? I smell that.
Suddenly, Tori is like, there's no cinnamon rolls around here.
Why do you smell like a cinnamon roll? I have no idea. I can't. I don't know.
This is so brilliant.
Yes.
I'm 100% and you have to bring it with you
to tribal.
Yeah.
Do you smell something? Like, yeah.
Why does it smell like Applebee's? It smells like Applebee's turnover dessert, sponsored by Applebee's. The Applebee's idols.
The Applebee's idols. That's great. Conversely,
I smell like home.
Why do you smell a skunk? Why did you something? What is that? That horrible smell.
What is Applebee's competitor that they pay to be sponsor the smelly idol? Like Denny's? Oh, no. Denny's was mentioned in a positive way. Denny's. Mike
we'll
said
50%. We'll talk about Denny's. Okay. Hannah, the smelly hidden immunity idol. Send it to Fiji.
Oh, my God. I'm so blown away by how brilliant this is. I have one more pitch for a silly idea.
Yes.
That I thought about while you were pitching your brilliant idea. So Jeff has been monologuing into the camera. Now, in order to activate the idol, instead of saying a silly phrase, a contestant has to turn, face a camera, and do a Jeff-style monologue of a specific thing out of the blue. And that's how they activate their idol.
Is this
at the mat?
This is a tribal? Where is this? In a challenge?
That's a good question. I'd say camp? In the middle of camp life, they have to turn to an idol and be like, the thing about soccer... I love it, but they have to do it as a monologue and walk along with the camera. It's called the monologue activation idol.
Hmm. Okay. See, I think I don't know if you could necessarily like do that at camp, but like on the mat, could you like say like your Beware Advantage clue says, all right, interrupt Jeff and tell him that you would like to set up the challenge. Like that would be, you know, like very presumptive. And
here's what will happen.
And
two
Jeff's
teams
not
of
in
five
on it.
Will raise.
Jeff's not in on it either.
Oh, I love that Jeff doesn't know. I love that Jeff doesn't
know. Not sure
know.
If you could pull this off. But imagine like, excuse me, Jeff, can I cut in? Can I set this up? Can I take a stamp at this?
Under your seat, you find a Jeff Probst hat, too, and a shirt. You have to button up and do his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think these would make Survivor better. And I think if you disagree, you're not fun.
You're not. Yeah. You're being no fun.
You're being no fun.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're about to tweet at us, this is stupid. Take a mirror instead and say you're no fun.
Don't be such a hater.
Don't hate on brilliance.
Yeah. But I think that these are some really fun ideas.
I'm really glad that the evolution of me podcasting with you is starting from early podcasts being like, I'm so scared what people think about me all the time, to being like, if you don't agree with us, you suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can say that confidently.
Yeah. Because, yeah. That just turn it off if you don't like it.
Yeah. If you're like, ugh, another Hannah one. She was there last season.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Mm-hmm. Or listen at 3.0 speed. We'll just sound like ants.
Is that what ants sound like?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
This was a great question, Alex.
Great
Thank
question,
you.
Alex. Thank you so much. Okay.
For sending it in.
Let's see. How about a question? Let's see. Okay. You want to do a serious question? Okay.
Sure.
All right. Let's see.
I got my serious mode in.
Yeah, let's do one serious.
Do serious.
Okay. All right.
Listen, I have notes, and some of my notes are serious.
Yes.
Well, I made little notes. I'm not reading the notes, but I did write some notes down in case I had nothing to say.
Okay. Let's take a question. This is from Hayden.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much for taking the question.
You're welcome, Hayden.
What I wanted to pose to you is there some players... A lot of players, actually, that want to run the strategy that Omar seemed to be running this last episode of I want to have coals in all the fires. Now, why is it that this backfires for so many players, but not for other players? What is it about Omar that allows him to have relationships and keep people from talking about his relationships with other people? Or do you think this is just going to backfire for Omar? Curious to get your thoughts.
Okay. Hannah, we saw Omar talking with a bunch of the people that were at the bottom seemingly feeling like he had a lot of options that I feel like if anybody did this in Millennials versus Gen X, and correct me if I'm wrong, I kind of feel like that Zeke had this going on around this point in the game where he's looking to the Brett and Sunday and the people that were on his side of the rock draw in mm-hmm. Millennials versus Gen X that people weren't really looking at. It doesn't always work. I think Ricard had this a little bit last season. What is the key to being able to do this?
Well, I think the first thing is a specific that Omar said during the episode, which is that he didn't have a vote for that first big merge vote. So he could play a bit dumber in terms of, he could tell the people at the bottom, I didn't quite know who the vote was. And he has no paper trail, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think, oh man, what did I think? I just completely lost my second thought.
Yeah.
How is Omar doing this? Oh, wow. You know, when... like Drea stuck her hand and red paint spurted over her arm and she could think of nothing else. That's what my brain just did for a second.
Yeah.
I think Omar is building relationships based on not having the vote. Oh yes. My second thought. I'm also curious. He voted for Romeo at this last tribal, not for Chanel. I'm wondering if you think that they were splitting the votes or was he just not fully. Okay. They were splitting the votes.
But interesting for Omar, if you're playing this strategy, don't you want to be one of the people that's voting for the person who's leaving? That you have plausible deniability of like, I told you what I heard. It was going to be Chanel.
Yeah, I'm curious how Omar is going to handle it.
Although
next
Romeo
episode.
Votes for high. So I don't know if Omar sort of like in the confusion is going to tell like, no, I voted for Chanel. What are you talking about? It changed last second. But Romeo, like they could not tell him that, okay, you're actually the decoy, vote for Chanel, because then he could sort of like then tell Chanel what's going on and maybe they get like something going on.
Right. Well, I'm curious how Omer handles this moving forward, because at least for the first vote, to Hayden's question specifically, Omer didn't have a vote. So he was able to keep more of his options open. I also think in terms of like Zeke or whoever we're talking about, talking to the people on the bottom, it's a strategy of, I mean, Zeke used to say he specifically would say, hey, I know I didn't include you in this vote. I still do want to work with you. It's all about the approach. It's not, you know, some people go around, you know, we saw early in the season being like, you're my number one, don't worry. Well, everyone can't be specifically your number one, or why are you not including them? But language is important. And if Omer can tell people, I didn't include you in this vote specifically, but I still want to work with you moving forward, that's different language. I mean, we saw Lindsay doing it briefly with Marianne. She was less highlighted than Omer, but you know, she told Marianne, like, I know you weren't included in this one, but I, you know, you're still a part of this and I want to work with you. And I think language is key, and not having a vote was helpful for Omer. I'm curious again, how it works moving forward now that he's thrown a vote out for Romeo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He also just seems very likable. Omer, he's seems to be building a lot of like personal bonds. You know, he talked about his faith with Mike. I mean, it's a baller move. He's using his virginity to build trust. Multiple times he's been like, listen, you can trust me because I've waited for sex. The show has highlighted it twice. So
we haven't seen him say that that's strategy. Do you feel like that is strategy?
Probably not. Yeah. I'm for anyone about to come for me for this, I'm mostly joking. But maybe the trick is don't have a vote and don't have sex. That's my answer for you, Hayden.
Should there be a Survivor player that actually tells people like that I am a virgin, but then in confessional says, I'm lying, I have had sex?
It would make me laugh.
Yeah.
And if
would that buy anything? Because I feel like that it's like Survivor historically has made like a big deal of like, and Jeff used to like famously like at the reunion show, like, all right, Eric, we want to know, are you still a virgin? Like, I think that it's probably not something that flies in Survivor 43.
Listen, if your goal going on the show, if you're listening, if your goal is to make specifically me laugh, go for it. If your goal is to win the game, I don't know that it's a great strategy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe people feel like, okay, oh, this is such an innocent young man or young lady.
Yeah, I mean, everything out there.
I mean, didn't Justin Timberlake for years say that he was a virgin? And then we found out, like, I actually was not.
I mean, the Jonas Brothers had their purity rings. We have, you know, a history of stadiums
rich
being
tapestry.
Filled because of virginity. I think overall, Hayden, if you know the truth is perception is reality. So if Omer is able to use the right language and build the right relationships, it's going to come off differently than someone not doing it as smoothly. We've watched survivors of the past try things, the same things that other survivors have tried and failed because of perception. And that's a skill set. It's who they are. It comes down to gender sometimes, whether it works. There's a lot at play. But I hope that answers it, Hayden.
Okay. Hannah, let's bring in a question from Kiana about how a referential Survivor has become.
Hey, Rob and Hannah. This is Kiana. I'm calling in because I wanted to talk about Jeff and how he keeps bringing up Survivor 41. With each twist and over explaining to us how they changed each twist and why they did it. Personally, I liked it better back in episode 1 where they made the changes but didn't explain it to us. I like being able to come to those conclusions ourselves and have some discussion about it. But that's just me. What do you guys think? Thanks.
Yeah. Hannah, how are you feeling? We had 2 weeks in a row where Jeff has really reset. All right. In season 41, we did blah, blah, blah. But here, but now we're going to do it again. And now we want to see, should they just do it?
So I think, Kiana, thank you for your question. I think that these clarifications are not for the Rob Has a Podcast audience. Mm-hmm. We get it. We don't need it. It would be easier for us if we didn't need it reminded. Unfortunately, there's a part of the Survivor audience that does not understand that two seasons are shot back to back, that they haven't known before. you know, there are parts of the Survivor audience.
Oh, you think that this is for the person who's like, oh, well, like, yeah, they did this last season. Of course they're going to know.
Yes, I do. There are people on, you know, in the Survivor audience that will DM me and be like, are you and Ken together? That was the love story. You know, Survivor, there was a portion of the Survivor audience that, not you guys, not y'all listening.
Not y'all.
But there are a portion of the audience that might not understand as much, you know, I think they're called the casuals, I believe, the Facebook commenters. So I'm not, it's definitely not necessary for you and me, Kiana, definitely not for Rob. I wonder if there's a portion of the audience that's like, thanks, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I forgot. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. That's my perspective on it. What do you think, Rob? Because I think it's silly. It takes up time. I do love Jeff looking into the camera and going, the monster might be hungry. History's just a reminder. Yeah. He's having fun.
He's having fun.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes it, you make a good point of like, they need to remind people, like, yes, like, of course, like, when they say like, hey, they already did this. Of course they knew. This show jumped the shark. So I think that, yeah, you make a good point about why they need to do this. I wonder if we need to do this at, like, every step of the way.
I don't know. I mean, I know Jeff is also targeting a younger audience. You know, he's really into the kids. Like, is this sort of the Blue's Clues moment of the episode? Mm-hmm. I just, you know.
But they didn't really do this in the first half of the season. Like, they did it like to open the show, and then they kind of like went away from it the whole pre-merge. And now it's sort of like been back to back after the merge.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, Jeff being like, if they don't find this, I'm going to be pissed off. Is just Jeff letting us. That's just Jeff being like, come on, next person, look under the bench. It's not for us. I know that sucks. I want everything to be for me, but this part is not. I hope it's someone's getting something out of it.
Okay.
But it's a great question, Kiana.
Let's take a question that comes to us from Ben, who wants to ask about Drea switching seats with Marianne at the reward challenge.
Hey, Rob, it's the Ben behind the curtain here.
Hi, Ben.
At the reward challenge, we saw Marianne draw the grey rock, but then Drea offered to substitute in for her. She said it was about PB&J, and perhaps that was true to some extent, but surely the larger reason was that Drea wanted to search for an advantage. Is there anything Marianne could have done to keep the grey rock without drawing suspicion on herself, or are you just kind of screwed if you get the grey rock at this stage? Cheers.
Okay. First off, so the Drea thing is really interesting to me. Like, I get the sense that really the factors here are that, you know, Drea says that, okay, I don't like peanut butter. But she also is like, I think has like no energy. She said like in a secret scene, she hasn't been able to eat anything. She actually has a coconut allergy, but it's a coconut.
Oh, that explains so much. Coconut allergy?
Yes. Yes.
Well, because like Michelle from my season stopped being able to eat coconuts and immediately withered away. It really is detrimental.
Okay. So, but does a coconut allergy predispose you to having a peanut allergy? She just said, I don't like PB&J. Is it possible? Does she have a peanut allergy?
I think she would have said if she had a peanut allergy. Okay, so also, you can break open a PB&J and eat the bread and jam.
Okay. Sorry. So that being said, like, I have no energy. Shouldn't you just eat the peanut butter sandwich? Or do you think she took a look at, Jonathan's on the other side.
Jonathan was on the other side.
Jonathan's on the other side. All right. I'm just going to save the calories. Yeah.
I mean, what I was going to bring up is there's multiple levels to this, but one is that Jonathan is on the other side. And in a group challenge, for the most part, the team that Jonathan is on, and we saw, I mean, in fairness, to another shout out to Omer, he really crushed it. But that's because also Jonathan decided to be a defender in the water at first. Right. And as soon as he switched with Roxroy,
he was doing pretty good against Roxroy. Yeah.
Right. She may have looked at her team, looked at the other team and thought, chances are we're going to lose anyways. Here's an opportunity to Marianne is young and plays with her emotions. This is a chance to build a connection. You heard Marianne say, if I ever have a chance in the future, I will happily switch with you. And so it's, you know, it's a time to do that. I think she knew to look for the advantage. The weird thing is, at least what the show showed us, was that she did say in a confessional, that would have been the time to admit, like, I wanted to look for an advantage, or no. I was trying to build emotional questions. We saw her saying, I really just don't like peanut butter.
I really hate peanut butter.
Well, you know, usually, you know, they ask us questions for like an hour. Maybe she said in another part of the confessional, I also wanted to build Marianne's trust, or I wanted to look for an advantage. I have to believe what we're being told in the confessional. Ben's specific question is pretty interesting, though, which is like, how can Marianne handle this? I mean, I think she could have been like, you know what? No, I drew the gray rock. I'm willing to sit out. You can have the jelly and bread. I know you're just being nice. I'm going to keep the gray rock. It would have drawn some suspicion, but I didn't even consider what a tricky position she was in. I do think Marianne was happy to try to compete.
Well, I think that, yes, I think Marianne was happy to try to compete. If I recall correctly, Marianne was in the group that went to Applebee's. If anything, I think if Marianne wanted to stay, I guess what is unclear is, why would Marianne want to stay out of the challenge? Like, unless that Marianne had the knowledge to know, oh, there's going to be an advantage on the bench, that for Marianne, if she wanted to stay there, she'd say, oh, Drea, you haven't eaten. I went to Applebee's. I insist you take the shot to try to get the, even if you don't eat the sandwich, you can eat the potato chips. So you compete.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness to, you know, obviously the thought might've been there's an advantage, but there's been plenty of seasons with sit out benches with no advantage on the bench. In my season that happened all the time. Mm-hmm. Granted, that was 100 years ago. Yeah. So it was changed
before they even did it the first time.
Right. I want to believe, because I really like Drea. Drea is one of my favorites. I think I want to believe that it was strategic, both building an emotional bond with Marianne and looking for an advantage. But she weirdly said in a confessional, this is a bonus, but I really just don't like peanut butter.
Peanut butter and jelly, yeah.
I mean, we had people eating snails for the first time, right. Vegetarians. Yeah,
people, you think they're good? You think people like eating the disgusting things, the hermit crabs and stuff like that? No.
Peanut butter is strength. Peanut butter has good calories in it.
And you like PB&J, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get the peanut butter and jelly. I won like one reward my season, but.
When Jeff talked about how it was going to be a taste of home, did you know immediately it was going to be peanut butter and jelly?
Yes.
Yes, you did. Because
I'm going with yes.
We always, yes and yes.
Sure, I knew it was going to be peanut butter and jelly. I knew Drea was going to sit out. I predicted everything.
You knew everything. Well, I'll tell you somebody who does like PB&J. And that was Mike. Mike is into it. He was very pleased with the reward this week.
They were not cheap with the peanut butter and the jelly. It's oozing.
It's oozing.
Oozing. Is this the new stew excitement? Are we going to talk about this for the next 45 minutes? The oozing peanut butter and jelly?
It's oozing.
Oozing.
Yeah. Boy, the questions this week, the listeners were not cheap. It's oozing.
It was oozing.
Yes. And not only is it oozing, okay? Please allow Mike one more liberty, okay?
Listen, guys, I'm licking the paper. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't care whatever anybody says. I'm licking the paper.
He's a rebel.
I'm licking the paper. Don't try to stop me. Mike, no, come on. Mike, that's disgusting. Stop. Don't do it. No. It was oozing.
It was oozing.
It's oozing.
I was on Zoom once and I turned off my camera to lick a plate and I wasn't on Survivor. So, Mike, I feel you. It was oozing.
I don't care what anybody says. I'm licking the plate. It was oozing.
No one's going to judge you. No one's going to judge you if you... I thought he said, I'm eating the paper. And Tori said, go for it. And I thought,
Mike, you got
eat
to.
Eat that paper.
You got to. Eat it. Eat the paper.
Eat the paper.
But you know what? Like, I was thinking about this later on where, you know, Drea, that she had the idol advantage and she stuck her hand in the paint. And Tori asked her, "Hey, what's going on there? You gotta like, why is your arm red?" And this was Drea's answer.
I was trying to paint something, and then it spreads easily.
Oh gosh!
So be careful.
Be careful. This paint spreads very easily.
It's
oozing.
It's oozing.
It's oozing. My tweet that did the best, of course it's this tweet, is telling Drea to call it period blood. And I got a lot of response just for clarity on here.
Yeah.
First of all, it was mostly a joke, but also for the men in my
yes.
comments to this tweet that were like, you don't have your period out of your arm. Men.
You don't know that.
First of all, some women do.
Yeah.
Somewhere women have their period out of their arm. Also, it can get placed. I thought that would have been a funny response. I don't think Tori would have questioned
it. Right. Because, you know, then it's sort of like, it's like, okay, this is like, I'm not going to pry. You know,
yeah.
It's like, all right, this is a personal matter. I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah. Or I guess she could have said she was like, but my question is this, Rob. And I love Drea. I love that she has a whole collection of advantages. I think she's a badass. Do you think she should have spent more time washing her arm off? It seemed like she was right next to the damn well.
Yeah. Well, I would think that if anything,
go to the ocean.
But maybe she washed her hand, but maybe it was sort of like the underside of her arm. She didn't really realize like the wrist was in play. As much.
She must not have realized. It would have been different if we had seen someone approaching. It just seemed like she was right. I mean, they didn't do the red-handed thing away from the well. That would have been tricky. She would have had to run through the forest with a red hand. They did the thing right next to the water well.
Yeah.
You had the opportunity to wash.
Yeah, if anything, that was a missed opportunity to put it like by tree mail and then just run through the camp with the red arm.
With your red arm.
That would have been even better. Even better.
That would have been
it.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's my pitch next time.
Yeah. Can I also go back to this Beware Advantage? Because I watched the episode again, and I thought there was some false advertising here on the Beware Advantage. Jeff tells us, this is going to be a Beware Advantage, but this is what Jeff says.
So we're going to do it again, only this time it is a Beware Advantage, which is much more dangerous because if you don't do what it tells you to do, there is a penalty.
Okay, hold on. The Beware Advantage
What's
is a Beware
penalty?
Advantage, and if you don't do what it tells you to do, there is a penalty. Hold on a second here. Did Drea lose her vote if she didn't go find the idol? Or does Jeff did they not even tell Jeff what the thing was going to be?
I honestly don't think it worked like that. She would have read, if you don't stick your hand in the red paint, you lose.
Yeah. Good day, sir.
I know this is my own voicemail in. I have a question unrelated that one part I don't understand. Okay. And I was hoping as the expert, you'd give me clarity. That's the amulet. Sorry, I'm thinking about Drea's. I'm not sorry, actually. I'm thinking about.
Don't
I'm
apologize.
Trying to clarify.
Don't
I'm
apologize.
Trying not to apologize in my life. I apologize when I mean it. And I'm not sorry for asking a clarifying question.
Hey, look, but Mike isn't going to apologize.
Listen, guys, I'm licking the paper. I don't care what anybody
thinks. No.
He does lick the paper, Hannah.
I'm going to ask a question. I don't care what anyone thinks. In talking about Drea's advantages, this amulet thing, do they each have an added vote or do they have to work together
for their
added
vote? No, they put it together.
They
can basically cash in. They're three amulets. It's like, I guess going to like Dave and Buster's, basically you can cash in your three. It's like a bizarro Dave and Buster's. The more tickets you have, the worse the stuff is that you get. So cash in three and you get your one extra vote. Cash in two, get a vote steal. Cash in one, it's idle.
But so do they get one extra vote between the three of them?
Right. They do not get three extra
votes. So who is in the most possession of it?
And they have to all come together. I don't know if they all have to stand up at one tribal council and say, Jeff, we are all using our thing. And then who writes on the vote? That I don't know.
Because from my point of view, it's not that an extra vote or a steal a vote. Obviously, an idol's powerful increasing in power, but it's the fact that you have to use it with other people that makes it less desirable. Like, I don't understand. Okay, so it's so they don't each get an extra vote with their one
they
ambulance.
They get one extra
between
vote
between the three of them.
It's possible the producers never worked it out because they're never going to use the three amulets for one.
No, they're going to try to vote each other out.
Right.
And do the steal. Because it just, it feels like, so the steal a vote, if it's two of them, they have to together. Because even when people have had these like two idle halves and things, you give it to one primary person.
Yeah.
In the rule book. I guess this was, thank you for clarifying. I think your answer of production just didn't know makes sense. Because I'm very because like it's one thing if you
it
have
will never
one,
happen. It will never happen in the season that the three players will use one extra vote.
Okay, because it's one thing if you
especially
turn
when Drea
in one,
has nine advantages.
Well, if you turn in one, you get one extra vote, and if you vote someone out, you find two in your bag. Makes some more sense, but if they all have to use it together, okay. Thank you for clarifying. That is ludicrous.
Yeah, actually, your way is actually pretty interesting if I'm hearing you correctly.
I'm saying the better way. Let me just clarify. The better way to do it would be. Each of them get an extra vote with their one. But if they vote someone out, then another one appears. And so then they can trade in their two for a steal a vote. And then if they vote the last person out, they have three.
Well, hear me out. So yeah, if you are voting people out, yes, it'll be like it says. But if so, one of the people could use the amulet at any time for an extra vote. But then if you end up with going to... you have it, I have it, and Boston Rob has one. Okay.
Okay.
If you want to use yours,
Classic trio.
The classic trio, the big three. If you use yours for an extra vote, fine. You used it for an extra vote, but now, our thing, do we each have a vote steal? Do we each have a vote steal? Do our things get better if you use yours?
I guess that's even more interesting than what I pitched. What I was pitching was just, if I use mine, okay, so you and Boston Rob each have yours, I use mine, yours still only counts as one, but then if I get voted out, a second one appears in your bag. But from your pitch...
Do we get two votes?
No. A second amulet appears in your bag, meaning you get a steal of vote, because you can trade in two.
Yeah.
And then if Boston Rob gets voted out, then suddenly you have, me and Boston Rob are both voted out now.
Yeah.
You have three amulets, you have an idol.
Yeah.
Or your way where I use my extra vote, then you and Boston Rob both have a steal a vote. I guess this seems like the worst iteration of it where me, you and Boston Rob have to come together. Imagine the steal a vote. The three of us have to come together and be like, we want to steal Christian Hubicki's vote, and here's who we're voting for. That just seems
it's very
ridiculous.
Very impractical.
Sorry,
very impractical.
Christian.
Yeah, so I actually kind of like this idea of know you have a thing, and maybe you don't even know who the other two people are, but if you use your thing, the other people's things get better. So it's like, I'm using mine, but what if my enemies, they get more power?
If you use your cinnamon roll smelly idol.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hannah, I have many more questions for you here from the listeners. Let me ask you one more about the Beware advantage. This one comes to us from Dylan. Dylan is in the same state as you. So legally, We have to ask.
We have to ask it. Yeah.
Okay. Here is Dylan.
Hi, Rob. Dylan from California here. I was wondering what you think would happen if Drea plays her knowledge's power advantage on Mike or Marianne and asks for their idol, and they simply didn't bring it to tribal with them. Do you think that they'd have to be like, oh, I'll give it back to you when we get back to camp? What happens if they get voted out in that case? Does she just be given it by the producers? I think that this is just more evidence that this is one of the worst advantages in the history of Survivor.
Shots fired. Okay. Hannah, all right. Drea says, Marianne, do you have an idol? And she says, actually, it's the classic case of the bunny rabbit eating his dinner in the mailbox. I left it, but I actually forgot to bring it to tribal tonight. I don't have it.
They boat Drea back to camp. They got to
get back to camp.
They put her on a boat and they all go back to camp and get the idol.
So she can't lie. Okay. But what if, like, okay, Marianne, or honestly, and there's been many cases before where the a person goes to tribal council, does not bring their idol. And what, like, does a producer say, like, hey, Marianne, make sure you bring your idol tonight?
I know this is behind the curtain. We're behind the curtain. But I guess the production has to insist people bring their idols now.
But okay, wouldn't this freak you out if a producer all of a sudden was telling you before tribal council, like, hey, Hannah, this is very important tonight. Make sure you bring the idol for tribal council.
Do they tell them before the season starts that everyone should always bring the, I mean, is this something that they knew was coming? It's honestly from California, a great question.
Yeah. I mean, perhaps if you were going to do this, if they had all of their ducks in a row, which I think that, you know, as like seemingly like with some of these advantages, like there's a little bit like, they're coming up with the stuff on the fly. You would need to change the rules ahead of time to, every advantage must be brought with you to tribal council, or said advantage is null and void.
But this is what I'm saying, where like the more twists that you add, in some cases, the less complex or the less old, at least old school, like mistakes and strategy happen, where like JT doesn't bring his idols. It's almost like the more, if you add too many twists, it's like bowling with the stoppers up. I don't know what do you call the bumpers?
Bumpers, yeah.
Yeah, it's like bowling with bumpers, where because in order for the twist to work, you can't have someone forget their idol or not bring it. So you have to, a couple tribals be bowling with bumpers up.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that production would insist that everyone bring their stuff.
Yeah.
I guess. Because otherwise, is a strategy on the flip side. Let's say that it isn't. Let's say that, you know, last season we saw someone else held on to the idol for someone. Is a strategy this time, I'm not going to bring it unless I really think I need it because of the stealing advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know which way do you think it falls? Do you think you can hide it at camp?
No, I don't think you can hide it at camp. I think that you probably, like, I think the producer is going to say to them, you make sure you bring your idol tonight. Like, if you were thinking about not bringing it, which is unfortunate. Like, it seems like that is not the ideal way that you would want to do that. Like, if Marianne potentially got tipped off, oh, Dre is going to steal my advantage, I'm going to hide it back at camp, I think they would say, no, you have to give it to somebody. Like, I think all the advantages have to be at tribal council.
Or like you said, you're in a confessional and the producer, you don't know about the steal an advantage. And the producer's just like, I think you should bring your idol to camp. And then Marianne freaks out, gets like, really paranoid,
okay,
screws up and gets her thing stolen, or Mike, or, you know, whoever it's dealing with. There's the more twists and rules you add, it's a ripple effect, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that Marianne's natural reaction is, well, I'm definitely playing my idol tonight. It's like, well, but she's going to get stolen before she can play it.
Right. But also, if you think you're going home, you act differently. So it could affect everything.
Yes, I think so. We'll see.
Dylan from California needs to be put on the production team.
Put him on
so
the team.
So he can map out the ripple effects of everything.
Yeah. Okay. Mention the smelly idol also. when you're on the team.
And mention the idea of them going full body masks as different players. Jonathan is Parvati. Like, please pitch that, yes. Dylan.
We have not talked a lot about Jonathan. Do you have any feelings about Jonathan? Or thoughts?
What specific kinds of feelings do you mean?
Like, have you, you know, are you oh my God, what a specimen here on Survivor. Any thoughts on his game? He's a big eater.
He eats like 18 eggs a day.
You know, it's funny that in the confessional last week, we heard him tell the audience what his average meal was.
Back home, my average meal is 18 eggs, 9 pieces of cheese, and grits.
Okay. And then I thought that this was really wild. Okay. So that seemed like on an average day, like my average meal is 18 eggs. Like,
18 eggs.
Like just like spitballing, threw that out. Okay. So Jeff asked the group, like, hey, what's a meal that you would get from home? Listen to this.
If a taste of home is worth playing for, then battle for a favorite childhood meal.
Whoa. It's a reward.
18 eggs and 9. Yeah.
I think
a very specific meal that Jonathan is throwing out.
You're not making 18 omelets. He's drinking 18 raw eggs. I just have a feeling.
All right. So I don't think you would make, like, I think that you need, an omelet requires multiple eggs, I think.
Yeah, but you're not making an 18
you
egg
think
omelet.
He's drinking,
there's no pan big enough.
You think he's
I
drinking
think he's drinking 18 raw eggs. Here are some actual thoughts on Jonathan. He deserves to be treated more than just Aquaman. I like, you know, both him and Mike have shown a level of self-awareness out there that yes. I think is really needed. I think you can have a lot of skills in Survivor. You can be strong, you can be smart, you can be beautiful. The skill that is most needed on Survivor is self-awareness. If how you are perceived to others is how you are perceiving yourself, if there's not a disconnect there, you're going to do well on Survivor. The more you understand how you're coming across, the better you do. For example, we see Mike this episode talk about how he's not good at calculus, even though Survivor's mostly addition, but I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
And so Mike relies on, you know, more of the brainiacs, right? And he's using his social game to get in with the brainiacs. I think Jonathan does a similar thing. You know, we saw him pair up with, I believe, Omer, right? I want to get this right.
Yes.
And I love a classic pair, you know, the good looking macho man with the brainiac guy, classic Survivor pair. We see him do that because he says, you know, he needs Omer's skills. And to be the kind of person who's like, I can pick everyone up with one pinky finger, but to still see value in other people is a good Survivor skill. And I think that that's going to serve him well. What's surprising is whether or not he gets voted out, I could see, I know this is crazy, and don't come for me, Jonathan Heads. That's what I'm calling the Jonathan Heads.
The Jonathan Heads, sure.
The Jonathan Heads. I could see a situation in which Jonathan loses at the end, which is, I know, don't come for me. But, you know, like if he's sitting next to a guy like Omer, you know, obviously in Survivor history, we've seen, you know, the muscle men kind of, win against the brainiacs. We've seen it either way. I could see him eventually getting voted out. But the fact that he's not even on the board means he must really be providing them with a lot of fish, with a lot enough that they feel like we can risk an immunity run. Like we can get closer to that number that we need with him because he's providing such loyalty, such care, such fish. And so I think he's doing well in like a lot of different components. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, I could see him winning big at the end as well. I'm just saying that I don't think it's, I think he's a complicated player, but I think that would be my analysis on it.
So, you know, when you talk about his relationship with Omer, I think that edit wise, like he has been portrayed as like, okay, Omer is doing the thinking and Jonathan is the muscle. But like, it seems like that Omer is not one of Jonathan's like top allies, based on like, we see a little bit more, like now that they've merged, Jonathan talking to Mike, Jonathan talking to High. I mean, Jonathan has a relationship with Lindsay. And I think that if Jonathan goes to the finals with like those other people, like I don't think it's necessarily sort of like the same idea as where, and I don't know if this is like a one to one, but when we talk about like in your season, like if David and Ken both got to the end, like and one of the reasons why Ken is like, oh, I got to get rid of David because nobody will vote for me if I'm at the end with David, because people will think, you know, he did all of the thinking for our group. I don't know if it's necessarily like if they are seen as that sort of a pair. And I don't even know if Jonathan is thinking about Omer as somebody that he's going to go to the end with.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we see these players sometimes, whether it's Ken or Xander, that the audience may not understand, could lose at the end. So I'm just bringing it up as a possibility because we've seen that archetype where maybe from home, we're like, oh, that's obviously if they get to the end, they win.
Yeah.
When in reality, that's not, despite combinations, that's not the thing. In terms of Jonathan specifically, I'm just trying to figure out if it's more that case where people actually think that he could be beat at the end, or if it's the case where his social game and his loyalty, and also, I know it sounds silly, but what he's providing for everyone is making them willing to risk keeping him around till at least, you know, seven and risking that immunity run, hoping that he'll slip up. I don't know which side of it it is, but I do think that, I mean, we've seen physical people on the show before, and we've seen kind of, you know, these, you know, golden boys be strong. I haven't seen someone do what Jonathan's doing to this extent in a while.
It is, yes.
It is so impressive. Like, again, from the get-go, him dragging the boat sideways, the way he pops out of the water and they were one ball away and just comes back, the way he pulls, it's like watching a professional. I mean, we've had professional athletes on that haven't even done this, but it's like watching a professional athlete go into a little league baseball game and be like, I guess I'll play on this team.
Yeah. I mean, he's been incredible because I think that in the history of the show, like, I think a lot of like the big guys have kind of been flops in terms of like the people who have done very well in the challenges are people that have been sort of like a different body type where, you know, that like the, you know, Aussies and Joes and like Tysons and people like that, like they're not like giant, like mythical creatures. Like they're like tall guys who are like long and lean. So it's not like that they are doing like amazing, like physical feats of strength in the way that Jonathan has been able to, but also be very dominant in, you know, these physical challenges as well.
Yeah, it is something else to watch. It's definitely giving the audience a show. And I'm just so curious as it shakes out, if he becomes a really big threat when they realize they have to let him, like, let him go, or if it's a situation of there are combinations we're not seeing. Again, perception is reality. Just to be clear, I'm sure that Jonathan, you know, I'm sure it's not, you know, one half of a duo isn't making all the decisions. I'm just saying he has the self-awareness to realize value in other people, which is a great, it looks good. And also I'm saying that if the perception is one way, then again, the math on Survivor doesn't have to add up. It's Family Feud here.
He has been very self-aware at times. But as far as like strategy goes from Jonathan, like I think we still have not seen it. And Jonathan as a winner of Survivor would be probably like one of the least strategic winners that we've ever had. Is that fair to say? At the risk of upsetting the JHs?
The J-heads?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I love that nickname. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's interesting. And we see in the preview, Lindsay sort of getting frustrated with Jonathan. I think what tends to happen when there's a big group like this, too, is the people in power get confident.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how it will shake out for Jonathan, but you can't deny that just you know, watching him in these challenges have been incredible. Usually I don't usually love watching Survivor Challenges, but he's made it fun to watch these Survivor Challenges.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you one other question about Jonathan. This is from Matt has a question for you. And hopefully you have a good answer for him. Okay. Here is Matt.
Okay.
If you were as strong as Jonathan, what would be your favorite way of showing off that strength?
Have you thought about this?
I'm just laughing because this is 100% my boyfriend.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like bright red. What was the question?
All right. Matt wanted to know if you were as strong as Jonathan, what would be your favorite way to show off your incredible strength?
That's a great question.
I think I would just eat everything.
18 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I would just like kind of deadlift people. Like I would just pick people up and move people.
And move them if they did like, hey, put me down. No, you're going over here.
You know, I think it would be fun to like, to sort of be like a small time hero, like super strength, like little old ladies crossing the street, cars honking at her. You just sort of pick up the car, you know. The murmurs around town is that there's a superhero.
Wait, so you would move the car.
Oh, I guess you move the little old lady, don't you? Not the car.
It seems more practical to move the little old lady.
Well, it would have been more practical in the first challenge to turn the boat around and pull it against the current, but he just pulled it sideways. So you're a small-time hero. Right? And that's how you use your strength. But you never do it in the obvious way. You don't pick up the old lady and move her. You pick up the car. If there's a burglary happening, you pick up the store, not the burglar. It's sort of like an Amelia Bedelia.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an Amelia Bedelia small town hero is how I would use my super
strength.
What's
his name? The Subverter? Subverts your expectations at every turn.
Coming to theaters soon.
Okay. You should be big.
The Subverter. That's how I would use it.
Okay. All right. Let's bring up a question. This is something I've been wanting to talk to you about all day today. Johnny has
all day.
I've been thinking about this a lot. Okay. Johnny has a great question for you, and it's something you've already alluded to.
I'm still blushing.
Hey, Rob and Hannah. It's Johnny from Toronto, and I have a question about the analogies at Tribal Council. I noticed last night that Jeff started a question to Romeo by wondering if you could compare making alliances to going on a road trip with the people around you. Romeo answers this question completely ignoring the analogy, just talking about tribe dynamics. And Jeff said nothing about Romeo's answer and just went to the next person and said, anyway, back to the car analogy. So has it been Jeff this whole time who's been forcing these insane analogies into Tribal Council discussions? Because this is the first time I've noticed it, but it was really wild.
Yeah. Is Jeff the drama? Yeah. Okay, here's the question for Romeo.
So Romeo, it sounds like it's the beginning of a road trip. And whoever this group is, they're deciding, we've got room for this many people. Who do we want to take this road trip with over these last days of Survivor?
Okay. I've been thinking a lot about this because this week I feel like was like, I don't know, like, you know, where the frogs in the boiling, the water has been getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter on Survivor. But this week, it really seemed to me like the water is boiling with this analogy talk. And we are just like in like this wild like brainstorming sesh. And it's like, all right, who else has something about the car? All right. And people are trying so hard to come up
with. And then Holly gives him the answer and he goes, and now we can vote.
And now we can vote. Okay. But listen to this, what that I have for you, the capper. Okay. The closing remarks that were so great. Okay. Listen to that. Okay.
Yeah,
we go from, all right, Romeo, are we on a road trip? And then it's like, but okay, is it the, like, Lindsay, he goes back to like, but is it the right car? Are we going to the right place? And Marianne, yeah, like, says something wild about how, like, maybe you're in the car and you're not even in the right seat. And maybe you're hanging out the back.
Lindsay said something about taking a nap.
Yeah. And Lindsay said, well, and they said, well, do you have to be driving the whole time? And Lindsay was talking about how, like, yeah, I don't need to drive. Maybe I could take a nap. I don't need to be driving the whole time. And then High comes in here at the end.
Yeah. Can I add in?
Yeah.
If you're in the driver position, you need to know when to let someone else drive. And if you don't know how to let someone else drive, you better be wearing a seatbelt.
Whoa.
On that note. Whoa.
Did that make any sense?
Let's break this
down. Yeah, break it down for me.
Yeah. First of all, Johnny, I want to answer Johnny's question directly. Have you ever had a teacher in school, Johnny, where you know they love something? And yeah, so, like, in order to do well in the class, you're like, I know they love, like, they love, you know, when I raise my hand and, you know, mention their favorite movie. That's a little bit, I think it's a little the situation where, yes, Jeff Probst really wants the metaphors. And so you saw how happy High made Jeff Probst at the end of the tribal.
Day. Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a situation of like, Jeff is this, you know, they're all fans. Jeff is this figure. You want to give information at tribal council that sort of gets the jury making you seem cool, sort of gets Jeff excited, but doesn't give away your whole plan. Mm-hmm. The perfect way to do that is this metaphor. So yes, Jeff is the driving force behind, not necessarily like forcing people
when you
into
say he's
metaphors.
The driving force. Are you saying that he's leading the road trip, or are you saying, yes, yeah?
And I'm saying this is not just a car. We're on a bus, a school bus. Your favorite teacher, Jeff, is driving, and there are no seatbelts on a school bus for some reason.
Very unsafe.
Very
unsafe. It's an old school bus from like the 80s.
Old school bus. Jeff, in this episode, Johnny, it was a little bit more obvious that Jeff was like, hey, the driving thing.
Give me this. But I need it.
I also think sometimes contestants bring it in, but it's so that the teacher is happy, I think, a little bit, and because it's fun. But Heise, let's talk about Heise thing.
Can I play one for you? Can I play for you one more time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Let's do it.
Here's High again with the big finish.
Yeah. Can I add in?
Yeah.
If you're in the driver position, you need to know when to let someone else drive. And if you don't know how to let someone else drive, you better be wearing a seatbelt.
Well, on that note.
Whoa. I love, he goes, Jeff, can I add something in? And Jeff already goes, yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
please.
Let's break this down for a sec, because it got a big reaction. I think, first of all, delivery, 10 out of 10.
Yes. Style over substance.
Style over substance.
Yes.
High may as well have said, can I add something in? Yeah. Wait, did Jay say, can I add something in?
Can I add something in?
No. You say, yeah. Can I add something in?
Yes.
It's like the bus is blue, and the blueness is like the sky, and you better not jump. Like, that's what it was. It was, what?
Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah.
Complete execution on the delivery. I dropped his own mic, and everyone said, yeah. But it was oozing. He is right. First part of the metaphor. You have to in Survivor
we were
let someone
with
else
you
drive.
The first half. Yes.
Because I think it's something that some people who go out there, they're like, I need everything on my, you know, resume. I need to always be driving. No, you got to let other people drive. If you can't let someone else drive, that means you're still driving. That's when you better have your seatbelt on. Oh, I guess because maybe you're going to crash if you're always having to drive. So you better have your seatbelt on.
I don't know.
Did I just figure it out?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
How about everybody in the car put a seatbelt on? Okay? Because it's the law. It's called buckle up. Okay?
Click it or ticket.
It's 2022. And last time I checked, everybody should be wearing a seatbelt.
And
children in the back under a certain age should be in a booster seat.
Yeah.
Marianne, don't be hanging out the back of the car. Get in a seat and put a seatbelt on. How about that?
Even when you're napping, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think in saying it aloud, I did figure out High's metaphor.
Yes.
If you always feel like you have to be in control, you better be ready to crash. And if you're not wearing a seatbelt, you get voted out.
So if you're on a road trip with somebody and they're like, no, I got this. I'm driving. I'm the control freak. Like, oh, but you better
put your seatbelt on. That's when you should wear a seatbelt.
Yeah, because you've been up for 36 hours. I think we're about to hit a wall.
If someone else is in charge, you should still be wearing a seatbelt. You know, I think, Jeff, see, this is why Romeo's really in trouble. We talked about it an hour ago in the beginning of the pod when this started, is that Romeo didn't give Jeff his metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is surely, when Jeff snuffs Romeo's torch, inevitably, he's going to say, guess you weren't wearing a seatbelt. He's going to change his whole thing. He's not going to say the tribe has spoken. Mm-hmm. He's just going to completely mix it up. Yeah.
And if you have an idol, that's a little bit like having an airbag in your car, isn't it?
Unless it's like someone
you crashed, but it's a good thing you had that safety net. Good thing you had the hidden media.
Unless Drea comes and pops that airbag.
Steals your airbag, because that people will steals break your into your airbag. Car and steal your airbags.
Is an amulet kind of like a phone charger? It keeps you going.
Yeah, in what way? And then if like somebody like you're like, hey, you're in trouble. Your battery is low, but your friend has a charger.
Yeah.
But you have an iPhone exactly and they have it. This is an Android charger.
But you know, if you're on the bottom of the alliance.
Yeah. Hannah, I want to just talk about like big picture though. Okay, so the analogies like were not always part of the show, and I think that really just like from a like a meta perspective. Okay, I really feel like that this came about in the 30s, and I'm wondering the tell me if you disagree with this timeline of events. I feel like that Aubrey plays in season 32, which is really season 31. Okay. They film it before Second Chances. I don't know how much analogy is in or metaphor is in season 31 in Second Chances. But I would have to imagine there's probably like at least a little. But then in your season, you have, and I always feel like that your season is the season of like so many great writers in the season. You have yourself and Zeke and David and Adam
and Paul Wachter.
Paul Wachter. Does the metaphor game take another step in Millennials versus Gen X?
That's a good question. Cause I'm thinking of now like season 30 before 31. I mean, you had Zeke, me, and Dave, who are all nerdy comedy people. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to have more fun with the language of the show. And I don't want to take credit for starting the metaphors or, you know, I don't think that's fair.
Like put some more gas in the tank, so to speak.
Okay. We were specifically asked to start naming things, renaming things. Trust clusters came from clearly, you know, the survivor gods wanting fun names for things. And I thought it sounded like a cereal. I know that's not a metaphor, but I was goofing around with names. And I think, you know, David specifically probably was always good at, you know, again, you want to say things at tribal. You want to seem like you know what's going on, et cetera, without giving things away. And a way to do that is metaphors. And I know Dave was always in particular nervous going into tribal about what he was going to say or not say. He is, a television writer, I'm sure, thought of some of these metaphors. Yeah. I would turn probably to some RHAP listeners who are more photographic memory historians that could probably, if someone's listening and wants to track the metaphors, I guess my answer would be, I don't know if we are the beginning of that with certainty, but I do know that we had goofy comedy people ready to play ball.
I think it takes another step. And then Ryan Ulrich comes along in season 35, and I think he really gives it some juice. Then Christian in season 37, I think adds a lot to it. He's and then here David Wright comes back. And so does Rick Devins. In that season in particular, who are the pilots? Who are the passengers? This is an airplane. This is who's flying the plane. Where's the plane going? Oh, who has a parachute? You know, we're really like doing a lot of, that stuff. And, you know, I just think that like, we're really like now people who are watching that are coming back and playing in seasons.
Yeah, do you think it's becoming like an expectation? Self-fulfilling people prophecy. Coming in?
Yeah. I also think maybe. The lack of the change of scenery in Fiji, like I think it's sort of like, okay, like if Survivor was moving from country to country to country, like
right,
I think
because 33 started the Fiji off.
Right. I think that there would be like a little bit less of it, but it's like, okay, we're like, how is this different than the last season? You know,
if you can't literally change the location, you can metaphorically change it.
Right. Right. And like, I would love like, this would be like a great project for somebody of like Survivor is like a blank and like just exploring all the metaphors and analogies in the Tribal
evolution
Council.
The evolution of Survivor is like a child learning to finger paint. Mm-hmm. The older the kid gets, the better the skills are, but inherently it's the same idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just be careful with the paint on your fingers.
I was trying to paint something and then it spreads easily.
Oh gosh,
so be careful.
It oozes. Okay, all right. Let's keep going, okay? Make another pit stop, okay?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hannah, here's a question from me. This week we learned that the merged tribe name is Kula Kula. Do you like
Kula
that?
Kula Kula. I love it. It's better than, what was it, Merica in season 30?
Well, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
I think Kula Kula is great. I think I'm Kula Kula with Kula Kula.
You're Kula Kula with it. Okay. All right.
Do you like it, Rob?
It's fine.
I mean, Bula Bula is said a lot in Fiji.
Yeah, yeah. And what was your merged tribe name? Was that Bula Bula?
No, it was like Vanaka. Vanaka. Wait, I don't know.
You don't remember.
This is like when I was in Australia and I did Survivor trivia, and one of the trivia questions was about Survivor 33. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you didn't know it.
I'm too curious. What? Let's see. Did I get it right? What was the Survivor 33 merge tribe name? I want to say Vanaka, which means like thank you.
Yes, and it was
not easily found on Google. The best merge tribe names. Oh, I don't know. Yes. I don't know.
Is that hard to find? Survivor.
Season 33 merge name. Here we go. I'm currently rewatching. Vanaka. Wait. I believe it was Vanaka. This is why I suggest. Oh, Adam's in the comments of this Reddit saying, this is why I suggested Vanaka. It's paying tribute to the original.
Yes.
Earl's suggestion, which was Bula, well, they went with Bula Bula, but it was Vanaka.
Okay, yeah, okay. So
in
Survivor Fiji, the merge tribe was Bula Bula. This is Kula
Kula. Earl had suggested, this is Kula Kula.
Yeah, well, you know.
Does Kula Kula mean something in Fiji, or is Kula, it just Kula Kula?
Yes, there's a secret scene about this that Omer, that's the official bird of Fiji, and they just named it twice.
Great. Okay. Well, Vanaka, for your question.
Okay. All right. Well done. All right. Let me bring you a question. This is from Japansin.
Cool.
Hey, Hannah. Welcome back. Hope you kept your coffee under control this time. My question is simply, when does a player like Tori shift from being a consensus vote to someone that everybody wants to take to the end? It's not that I don't like Tori. I'm just curious about how this works within the whole tribe dynamic and moving towards the end game. Thanks so much. Can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Thank you for your question. I've got my coffee. Some things are just for the video. I assume there will be video and audio.
Yes.
In this podcast.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So something, I gestured to my coffee for the audio listeners. I didn't want you to feel excluded in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So you were saying.
So we have Tori right now that
we
talked to Angelina this week about the idea of like, could Tori at some point shift to a person from, well, we have to get Tori voted out to, we have to take Tori to the end.
Mm-hmm. What did Angelina say?
Oh, well, I really wanted to know from Angelina if she felt like that Tori could potentially avoid being a person who was a zero vote finalist.
I mean, this is the week you have on the zero vote finalist, lady. So I guess this is the expert panel.
Yeah.
What did Angelina think? I'm curious.
She actually was not too bullish on the chances that Tori could potentially muster up a win here.
So she did think or
she did not. She did not.
No, I would agree with my fellow zero vote finalist panel of the week, Angelina, who I think is great. I think there'd be a tough turnaround.
So when do you think that shift is going to start where people are going to start looking at Tori as like, hey, we need Tori around because we'll beat her?
That's a really good question. There are enough people where having a wild card that no one seems to trust, at least for a while, it's difficult. It's difficult. It depends what kind of game people are playing as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see a lot of, you know, we have some strategists that might think along those lines. I would think those kind of people would be like, Hi or Omer. Maybe even Marianne would think like that. But then we also have some
Marianne gets along with Tori.
Marianne gets along with Tori, and we also have some more old school thinkers. I would say Mike, Jonathan, people who might not necessarily be thinking like that.
No.
Might be more thinking of like the alliance.
She doesn't deserve to be there.
Yeah, voices like that. I also think I wonder if, because it's clear from an audience perspective, you know, we're being shown very specific moments from Tori. We're being told very specific things. But, you know, when you're out there, I wonder if some of these people, while they don't trust her and, you know, she says that she sent Omar there as revenge. Rox Roy mm-hmm. as revenge. And then is like, I did it for you. Like, well, that reads, maybe there's a couple people that think she's won two immunity necklaces. It is sort of a behind story. Like, who knows how, it's not just when are they going to do it. It's how obvious is that to the people out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think that she would really have to hang in there till like a top five or six.
Okay.
If you want me to give an exact number,
I'm going to take the over on that. And I think if she makes it through the next episode, if they split into two groups of five and she makes it through the next episode, I think when we get to the final eight, they're not coming for Tori. And unless like by some fluky thing where somebody wins immunity or somebody plays an idol, I think that if Tori makes it through the next episode, she's in the final three or is at least in Making Fire.
You know, your boldness is what makes you a great podcaster.
I'm being bold, baby. It oozes. It oozes.
Play it. Play that oozing.
And I'm going to lick the paper.
He's licking the paper. Beat me to it if I have a second.
Yeah.
It's oozing.
Go for it.
He doesn't even say it is oozing. It oozing.
It oozing.
It oozing.
Could Tori be a losing finalist? It oozing.
It losing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. I think some, listen, I love Angelina. I think some of the moments where we're shown like, I, even from the jump, being shown her saying that she's that she's sad about Zach getting voted out, you cut back to Zach. You think she's going to say, because this was his lifelong dream and I feel bad that we ended it. But instead she says, you know, he's going towards a warm bed. I mean, we're immediately shown this person in a very specific light. And she's had a huge story. So the idea that she ends up at the end and loses would not be shocking. Mm-hmm. I do think that her immunity wins and, you know, she's constantly mentioned at the vote. I don't know that I see it like, oh, the next episode, that means it. But I'm a little bit, I'm not as bold as you. I think 5 or 6. Okay. And then she's like, oh, of course.
All right. Let's get to, okay, let me want to do one more question, okay?
All right. Only one?
Only one. Let's see. Maybe I'll see if I can dig up another one. We've covered a lot of ground. Let's go to a question, because we still have to talk about social media, okay?
Oh, got it. We still have to talk about hearing from people. Okay. It's so fun.
All right. Here's somebody. Tell me if you can recognize this voice, okay? Here's Liz.
I have a feeling I will.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Rob. Love your podcast, especially with Hannah there.
Yes.
So I have my annual question for you. Who do you guys think will win this year's Survivor? And unlike other times I've asked this question, I'm going to say that I wish Marianne and Jonathan would win for different reasons. But I think that Lindsay is the sleeper and that she will win it all. Let me know your thoughts. And great to hear Hannah on your podcast, okay. Rob.
All right. Hannah, was your mom setting up a record for downhill skiing while she was recording that voicemail?
Actually, yes, she is at the top of a mountain. She wasn't skiing while she was recording it. She was at the like restaurant deck at the top, and you can hear it.
Yes.
It sounds like she's...
Yeah, we usually advise the voicemailers like to go into try to find like a low wind area
to call in.
Yeah.
Not my mom. She doesn't stop for anything.
No.
If you know her.
She's got too much. She's multitasking.
I want to just address the voicemails we didn't get to before I address my mom's voicemails. I know this might seem like many accused Survivor, you know, of producer influence, all that stuff. This might seem like a rigged voicemail season. You know, I had my boyfriend, I had my mom. The only one I pushed to the front was my mom. Okay. I did not realize this would be everyone from my life.
I'll give you more. Do you want...
I want to answer my mom's question. Okay. Oh, sorry. Then we'll get to the next one.
Yes.
But I think we should answer. I'm not answering. I just... Listen, to the listeners being like, I sent in 15 voicemails. And she goes blood over... Yeah. Voicemail. Should we answer it?
Please. Okay, who's going to win?
Like 7 times. 1 second. Who's going? Well, my mom said she wishes. I believe. Did she say Marianne and Jonathan
were her? Yeah.
And she thinks Lindsay is the sleeper.
Yes.
If we have another female winner,
I do believe Lindsay said in this episode that she doesn't want to drive because she would like to sleep at some point. So she technically
she's literally
a sleeper.
She's literally sleeping
on the road trip.
I mean, you know, I would like to say, first of all, that like the diversity in front of the camera, chef's kiss. We have all these stories.
Yes.
I hope that the show continues, as they have been, to diversify behind the camera so we are able to tell every sort of winner story, wink, wink, season 41. But I really hope this is not... I really want to hear from the winner, whoever the winner
yes.
is. And I'm not, and the moments we've seen of Lindsay, she seems like she's in the know.
Okay,
she's
wait.
In the alliance, but I don't... Oh.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you hear shouting?
No.
Is that going to be picked up?
Continue.
Okay.
I did hear it a little bit.
There's a bit of shouting in my building. I do not live in the middle of the woods.
Shouting
like
or moaning?
There's some sort of
an argument?
Moan shouting happening. I don't live in the middle of the woods in North Carolina like you do.
Yes.
So I have city sounds. With that, listen, I have nothing against Lindsay. I think she seems like she's in the know. She's in the alliance. We see her handling Marianne. You know, she obviously has been referenced as sort of a Jonathan ally member. Yes. I would be disappointed to not hear from the winner throughout, or at least check in with the winner. Yes. You know, I don't want obvious quote unquote winner's edits, but I want to hear from the people that end up at the end, like how'd they get there? You know, not being referenced. So I'm not sure I agree with my mom on that.
But Hannah, wouldn't this be the ultimate shout out to season 41? If Jeff tells it the final tribal council, all right, Lindsay, she was somebody who we wanted to, it's just like we did in season 41. We had a winner that we didn't show you a lot about her. So we thought it would be fun if we did it again, because these people haven't seen this season.
So once again, the woman who won will not talk as much
but it would be fun for these players because they didn't get to see it happen already.
Yeah.
Don't you want to see how new players react to the same thing? Think about it.
It would be so great. I think every season, man or woman, we should just never hear from the winner. It should always be a show.
Yeah.
It should be like, remember that person you never, you know, the guys who sat next to them, or the, you know, they, you knew their story. What if the winner's like, I don't even know their name. In terms of who could win, and who might win, I, you know, like my mom, I'm a big fan of Marianne. I thought something she said this episode might also be her downfall in a final tribal situation. Mm. I'm not saying Marianne can't win. I listed her as my breakout star. So don't come for me, Marianne Heads. Called the head. All the thing is just their name in the head. I think she said that emotion can be used, can be weaponized.
As a weapon.
When negotiating.
Who says emotions can't be used as a weapon?
And as someone who has been in that position, I think the trouble is emotion as a weapon is a double-edged sword, if it's any weapon, where, you know, it can be used, but you also could find yourself in a situation where someone on the jury goes, I comforted you, and then you backstabbed me, or, you know, you cried. And then, so that would be my concern for Marianne, one of the people my mom mentioned. I've talked a ton about Jonathan. I mean, you know, going into this episode, I really had a favorite, Andrea. I think, she's got her collection of advantages. She's so like calm and cool and seems in, but seems to be navigating well. As like, that would be like in my mom's like wishful thinking. If I could pick who I wanted, and knowing none of them that are left, I'm like, I would love to see a Drea win. I think that she, you know, she's really like, I love how she's like, you know, everyone else is like, I've built this connection. She's like, Mom reminds me, this is not my family.
This is not my family. Yeah, I just met these people.
This is not my family.
Yeah,
and she said it at tribal council. These people like 3 days ago. Said it in front of everyone.
This isn't your family. Yeah.
This isn't your family. I think in term, you know, I think people who are starting to emerge, Omer being one of them, a big one for me. I think we're really shown him playing well. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, we see him keeping his options open, being able to connect with the people on the bottom. We see less arrogance from him about being in power, which is important. We've gotten his personal story. We've watched him make human connections, but we've also watched him defend his allies. A lot of people sort of have dropped their allies. I think Hay is really... is very smart and strategic. We've also seen him not be able to protect his allies as well. Drea, who is smart and strategic, not sticking by Romeo. So we've really seen Omer remain to his allies, which I think is a big thing for a winner. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I also think Mike had a great episode. I wasn't the hugest fan of his Chanel tunnel vision, and we can talk about it, but in terms of, we've seen character moments from him, we've seen he's likable, he has the self-awareness to be like, I'm not the calculus guy, like which I think is a reference to like, there are brainier people, but here's the skills I'm bringing to the table. And, you know, those are sort of the people popping out for me and why I think I wouldn't be surprised by a couple of the people winning. But again, self-awareness is key. And we've seen, you know, in the Mike Omer scene, it's highlighting Mike's empathy is what the thesis statement of that scene is supposed to be. But do you agree, or are we on different pages again?
No, I mean,
completely wrong after our last podcast.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned a lot of people.
I guess I mentioned everybody, but yeah. I'm highlighting as winner's picks more, Omer with some, you know, dark horses of Mike and Drea. Hi, you know, high, smart, strategic. I see what his downfalls might be, though. Marianne would be a fun winner. I could see what some of her downfalls would be, which is why the sort of Omer, Mike, Drea camp for me is a little bit shinier. Yeah. I guess I'm mentioning a lot of people.
Because there's probably of the, 10 people that are left, you could probably make a case for 6, maybe 7 of them to go on to be the winner. And there's nobody
who would
that's
your
like,
top two be?
My top two that I feel like that Omer is in a very good spot. I think that would be very interesting. High, I think also is somebody who would be up there. I don't feel like I think that Drea is probably my pick out of the women, but I will say I do not think we will have a woman winner for the second season in a row. Not that I'm rooting against it, but I feel like that Drea is think is going to have a fall.
It does seem like she's being led into a fall. That's just, you know, five or six men win in a row. So I'm like, I have feelings. This just sounds like I'm in therapy. I have feelings.
Sure. But after 0% for, you know, for like the back half of the decade, then, you know, if you have a year where you have 50% of women, you know, that's a lot of progress.
We don't get to count this. So now we're at 50%. Okay. It doesn't. I think my wishful thinking is like.
In the 40s. Well, I guess
in the 40s, we'd be
50%. Yeah. In the new era. In the new era. We start, drop the 4, keep the 1. This is a new era, Hannah.
So all the gender inequalities wiped away.
Wipe it away. Okay.
Wiped away. Yeah,
I think Drea, I think of the women, has the far away the best. I just don't think that, and I don't want to fall into the trap with Erica last season. Lindsay, I just think that we've seen so little of her. I think she's been the most invisible person that's left out of this group of 10.
Listen, if Lindsay is the winner, congratulations to Lindsay. I would not be angry at a Lindsay win at Lindsay. I would be angry that the storytelling didn't support
it's just
her
hard
win.
Even at this point, Erica had already had the whole hourglass business and stuff like that, where Lindsay has had almost nothing.
What I like about the storytelling of this season and more is that we see ups and downs of almost everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm just, when I watch it, I think about what is the overall story. Like, I really liked Rox Roy's hourglass story about his family and being able to see beauty. I really like Rox Roy. Unfortunately, like the first half of the season, all we did was hear other people call him annoying, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he was or is. I actually really like him. He just seemed like a dad who, you know, was learning to switch out of that. But like, it's stuff like that. I'm using Rox Roy as an example of like, I'm weighing what story we're being told. And that's what I'm narrowing it down to. I'll have to.
It's hard. Wide open field. Let me play you one more voicemail.
I like the storytellers. So my favorites aren't necessarily like, oh, this is for sure a winner. Marianne, breakout star.
breakout star. I just feel like that she's the person who she's not the person who wins. She's the person who's like the first. If it's like a proper reunion show, she's the person that is like, you know, getting all the questions at the reunion show. Like, I think she ends up being the star. I don't think she ends up being the winner.
I so appreciate her. Yeah, I appreciate her on my TV. And you could make a case, honestly, for the storytelling for a lot of these people. The last time I podcasted with you, I went hard and confident, and I still am trying to. But the last time, everything fell apart as soon as I podcasted. Okay.
All right, let's take one more question. This is from Emma. It's a question about Marianne.
Hi, Robin, Hannah. It's Emma. I am just calling to say that I've noticed some similarities between Hannah, your gameplay, and the role that Marianne holds in her tribe. Just seeing a little bit of that bubbly, friendly personality, but also some of that anxiety. Just really interesting to see the development of that type of role. And I just wondered if you had anything to say about that or had noticed any of that. Also, I just want to say, Hannah, that we are alumna of the same high school improv troupe. So I love to see that representation up there in Survivor. So thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Wait, I missed her name of all to miss. Emma.
You were in a high school improv troupe?
Needs improvement.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of it? Yeah.
So yes, I was cool in high school. So yes, I never went on a date in high school.
Yes. That was like Marianne also, right?
Yes. So the funny thing is, or maybe I find it funny, I was talking to a friend about Marianne, because Marianne is 24, I believe, yep, which was the age I played Survivor at. I'm now 30.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, time has passed.
The hourglass has not been smashed.
I have aged. And while I think we do have quite a few differences, I don't know that I was so, like, she just has this, like, raw honesty that I really is pretty brave. But I was saying to my friend, I was like, you know, I really do see some of my 24-year-old self in her, mm-hmm, just sort of, like, the unapologetic, like, enthusiasm for Jeff, for the show, for the other people, being like, you know, I think she even mentioned cool kids this episode, just everything kind of relating to like the inner high school needs improvement nerd self, even into adulthood. But it's funny because I'm like, I see a younger version of myself in this person on TV. And maybe you can clarify, because you watched us both as TV characters, how much similarity there is. But I will say that, like, over the past like 6 years, there are lessons I've learned, and it makes me in some ways relate to some of the older players. Mm-hmm. Older Jeff, Mr. Jeff would roll his eyes at the word older at 30, but
later days,
Yeah, just sort of the, like, being able to, like, over the past 6 years, like, step outside myself and, like, notice, like, others and, like, and just, like, listen a bit more, which someone could listen to this podcast and be like, she's interrupted Rob, like, 15 times.
No, no, I interrupted you.
But, yeah, it's weird because I really see my 24-year-old, like, aspects of me at 24 in her. And I've also realized that maybe I've become more cynical, or in some ways happier and more confident and self-assured as I've gotten older. And so I feel like I'm like watching like a younger version, but I don't know. You watched it as a three. I did have this conversation with someone.
Yes. Was it your mom?
No.
Okay. And what did the person say that you were having the conversation with?
They did not watch me on Survivor back then, so they didn't.
Okay. So comparisons of Hannah and Marianne. Well, I feel like that in some ways you are similar, I also feel like in some ways you're opposite, where that I feel like that you are both very like fun-loving and, you know, like have like a lot of excitement about the experience of being on the show. Like I feel like that in a lot of ways that you are very much wondering, like, am I doing the right thing? Is this right? Does that make sense? Sort of trying to be, very much making sure that you are not like making a misstep. I feel like that Marianne kind of doesn't have that, almost like in the complete opposite direction, where I feel like that Marianne almost never questions, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I making a misstep? She is just like acting, maybe even like impulsively, to where like she is just like, blurting out like a tribal council. Like, she was the one person that they showed at the tribal council where she like is like, oh yeah, it's like I'm in the car and I'm like hanging out the back. And that was like the one that everybody started like, yeah, okay, sure. And just like went on to the next thing.
That's interesting. I was curious from an outside perspective. I also think I really prided myself on being an outsider at 24. Like, my version of the cool kids and the nerds and weirdo had a lot more, like, it's weird to say about Marianne, but a little bit more joy and humor to it. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of being accepted by people who have always been accepted was like, I think I was rebelling against that, where this episode, and I love the rawness from her. She was genuinely upset that, like, you know, these quote unquote cool kids, which we're talking about like Mike and Jonathan or something, weren't accepting her. Right. I did question things probably a lot more in it with a neuroses. I also didn't find myself in her position at the merge. Yeah. And I think it was a bit more, I made a lot of social faux pas, but like a little bit of the like questioning did help me navigate it. But
can I, going back I to really the, like Marianne, room yeah. for improvement, is that the right? The,
needs improvement.
But I almost feel like that you like, in your journey to Survivor, like kind of found your people along the way and then were able to, I'm sure, with your people talk about like the Figgies and Taylors of your, and Jays, like in the real world. Which like you knew, okay, that's not necessarily my people. Whereas like, I feel like for Marianne, it seems like that she almost like has never found like her group in the real world based on the little bit that we know about her from the show. And it seems like that it has always been a struggle for her to find her tribe, her people. She has not yet found that outside of Survivor.
That's really interesting. I two things. The first thing is I have no doubt that I actually think Survivor is going to be in that way a very positive experience for Marianne. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are going to relate to Marianne. A lot of people are going to reach out to her and relate to her. And I think she's going to both hear from and find people that she relates to in that way because of Survivor. Like, I think her honesty and rawness is going to resonate with a lot of people. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing, yeah, I think that like at 24 through like comedy things and nerd things, I had found that. And so when I did meet, like Jay and I got along wonderfully because I didn't ever feel like I needed Jay's approval or, you know, Taylor figure. You know, I wasn't looking for validation from these people because I knew who my people were, you know, like Zeke and Mari.
And then you found them in the game. And I'm not sure necessarily that Marianne has found her people even in the game.
I don't know if it's because there aren't those people out there or because she's Zach still was learning. Her person. That was in that way I could relate to her her honesty. I thought that was really funny. Mm-hmm. I think all your observations have highlighted pretty astute differences between the two of us. It's interesting that I just put it on like a younger, older version of myself, but like talking it through with you, I guess you are right. I guess the differences are pretty apparent. But I, the joy and excitement is a thing that I can relate to. Mm-hmm. And that sort of like not apologizing for like giggling at Jeff Probst or being herself. And I think she's really, really great television.
Yeah. If I could just like maybe like crystallize it a little bit. And again, this is like I've never spoken with Marianne. I don't really know, but I feel like that, you know, in a lot of ways that you are like hyper self-aware. Like I feel like that maybe Marianne lacks some self-awareness. And like, I think that's I see it as the biggest difference between the two.
If I am at all hyper self-aware, it's only because I spent years not understanding why I was getting the reaction socially that I was getting and wanting to understand that. Like I had a friend recently be like, you're so like good at like chatting with strangers. And I'm like, that's because I have so much social anxiety that I've developed skills to cope with that. And that is that I can be quick and I can be witty and I can go up and approach a stranger mm-hmm. because I'm so anxious. So if any of that has developed, it's only from an anxiety or a lack of that.
I had such a great time watching you at a party one time. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast when you just like was telling this guy a whole story about how you were a gymnast and then you had like this amazing career. I was like, oh, this is incredible.
Yeah, Rob and I were at a party one time and I said I was a national champion.
And then the guy
gymnast.
Wanted to like look up your Instagram and you were like having to scramble.
I'm not saying they're always great social moves. I think this is going to be a really positive experience for Marianne in terms of finding
and
people.
Hannah, her whole pregame press was, I'm doing it for the weirdos. I'm showing people you can be weird. And I'm sure like Marianne is like incredibly popular and is gonna like, if she has not found her people, like they are finding her at this point.
I hope no one mistakes this for us saying Marianne doesn't have a bunch of friends.
I have no idea what if she has a lot of friends in real life or not.
If I'm reflecting anything back, I'm just saying that like I think like hearing from people who relate to this specific episode, her getting teary-eyed and feeling like an outsider, I think hearing from all the people that are going to relate to that is going to help her feel a sort of self-acceptance that the next time she's in that situation, she's not going to need Mike to like validate.
And if anybody should know about not having a lot of friends and being an outcast and shunned by the cool people, it's me.
It's me.
Yeah. I mean,
how did this spiral into this?
I mean, like, I was, you know,
we're just going off of what we're seeing in Marianne.
Sure.
What Marianne is telling us.
Sure. Okay.
That's interesting. We have now psychoanalyzed Marianne.
And ourselves. Yeah.
And ourselves.
Yes. Okay. Hannah, we have some social media to talk about. This is a very fun cast on social media.
Talk about social media. Apparently they can talk.
Apparently
and we can't.
They can talk. Okay. In the early on in the episode, we heard Mike talk about how, you know, there was the great scene you mentioned between Mike and Omer, and he was learning about things, about Omer's religion. And ultimately, at the end of the day, he said, hey, people, we're not all that different. Okay. And there was some talk about Mike as an older guy. But I'm wondering if Mike set the stage for Survivor's next great product placement on Survivor.
I'm representing the over 55 crowd, the 15% discount at Denny's crowd.
Okay, the over 55 crowd is the 15%.
Oh, 15. I thought it was 15%
discount at Denny's crowd. What do you think about a merge feast sponsored by Denny's?
And anyone over 55 gets 15% more.
We've got moons over my hammy pancakes.
Didn't bacon, Denny's try to make
coffee? Yeah.
Oh no, IHOP became the Denny's idol can smell great and the IHOP's idol can smell putrid, sponsored by Denny's.
Yeah, they're gonna drag the IHOP idol. Mike tweeted out, tomorrow, 18 eggs, 9 pieces of cheese, and a 15% discount I'm in. And he put the Denny's logo there.
Listen, guys, I'm licking the paper. I don't care what anybody
says.
Yeah. Licking the paper.
It's oozing.
Yeah.
Oozing.
Yeah.
Oozing.
By the way, when you get 18 eggs and 9 pieces of cheese, I guarantee you also.
It's oozing.
It oozing.
Oozing.
It oozing. Okay.
It's oozing.
Mike is a little bit of is a little shameless on. I mean, he was the last couple of weeks he was pitching Applebee's.
Not seen Mike's Twitter. I'm gonna have to go. Is he sponsored? Is he getting like endorsements?
He's going for them. Yeah, a little shameless on the Twitter, but been fun. Okay, all right. Then we got another one for you. Okay. We haven't gotten to talk about somebody who I thought that actually also, you know, gave me some Hannah vibes. And that was Lydia. We haven't gotten to talk about her. Now, you binged the whole season. Had you been aware of Lydia on social media?
Occasionally checking in on Lydia on Twitter. I actually met Lydia before the season started.
Oh,
I've met Lydia. She's very confident. I thought, oh, this is someone I'll relate to. I'm like, I was not that confident and cool at 22. Mm-hmm. She is very self-assured in her passions and what she wants and who she is.
Yeah. Okay. So Lydia Chlamydia, that's her name on Twitter.
Yes. I've heard her Twitter has become quite the show.
Very popular. Okay. So she was very... disappointed to know that she was 1 week away from being voted out on 420 on Survivor. People were telling her when she was
wishing, jury heartbreak.
Yes.
It's the 420 heartbreak.
Happy 420 to all those that celebrate, she said. If they delayed the premiere a week, somebody said to her.
This is how Lydia, Lydia is much cooler than I was. I won the DARE essay contest in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. So I was not celebrating 420 at 22.
Okay. So Lydia was, if they delayed the premiere a week, she could have been voted out on 420. She said she was literally devastated.
That's funny.
Wouldn't it ruin 420 for everybody? Yeah, it might dampen the holiday. Okay, all right.
You know, we get the Lydia boot.
Yes. Okay.
I was sad watching that back. I could have used some 420 magic.
Yeah.
I thought that was a hard thing to watch. Mm-hmm. Watching, I think it was oh my gosh, who was it?
And ironically, she get voted out on 420, and she got high from his vote. You got high.
High betrayed her. Yeah. On 420. Who was it that almost was the merge, not a merge boot last season?
Merge. It was going to be. It was between Evie and Sydney on the vote.
Evie. Yes. Evie tweeted out that she thinks it's really hard to watch someone make the merge, meet everybody, and then not make the jury. I know this has been a thing throughout Survivor, but it is tough. It's
tough. Not easy.
Okay. She didn't get high with high.
Okay. So Lydia also posted about she has a new hat. Okay. Did you know about the BFJA?
I feel 98 right now.
Yeah. Okay.
What is that?
Lydia said earlier this season that she claimed that she had the biggest, fattest, juiciest butt in the history of Survivor.
Oh, okay. I'm like a grandma. This said, is why, like,
yeah.
I can't relate to like
Survivor social media has got wild. Okay, you used to talk about puppies and butts. Now Lydia, please. She just talks about her own butt and calls it the A word.
If everyone goes follows me at Hannah Lilleson, I'll start tweeting about BF. JAs. So what about this BFJA?
So that's it's been she's talked about it all season. And then she just tweeted, thank you to the Chlamydia Nators. Okay, those are her followers. Those are basically, they're not Lydia heads. They're Chlamydinators. Thank you to the Chlamydinators that DM'd me to buy this hat. I'm wearing it with pride. And the hat says, ask me about my huge A word.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the merch she's shilling?
Yeah. Is that flair? Do they wear that at Applebee's?
Not the 15% mm-hmm. discount crowd. Mm-hmm. They're like me. No, they don't Denny's. Know what that that's means. Denny's.
Yeah.
I know that's Denny's. I'm yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This, okay. This deep dive into Lydia's social media is making me I am out of the hipness for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's bring it back. Okay. So let's go back to remember Gabby on Survivor David versus Goliath, and then some people thought that that was you.
Yeah, I remember. I am friends with Gabby. I remember Gabby.
Yes. And so so Gabby was shown in the episode with Christian getting the consumer cellular. Also, I think you get a 15% discount with consumer cellular if you're.
How are they not being? They're getting away with not paying them for a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial actors get paid quite a bit for residuals.
Yeah, yeah. So Gabby tweeted out about how that she was talking about how I feel like in every episode I will choose one iconic moment to tweet about, and this episode was Marianne's scream while jumping in the water. Did you notice that when Marianne was just screaming going into the water? Like somebody was chasing her?
Yes, yeah. I did. Yes, I absolutely noticed that.
Yeah. And then Gabby says, never mind. It was when I was in the middle of tweeting this and my friend I was watching said, hey, that's you. And I looked up and I was on the television. Not that there's ever a normal time to see yourself on TV, but this was a particularly inconvenient date to do that on.
Why you was know. It an inconvenient date?
Well.
Oh. Oh.
Remember?
Oh.
Yeah.
420.
Yeah, remember the Lydia thing? Yeah.
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 They were in a Verizon commercial about friendship, her and Christian.
Consumer Cellular. Not Verizon.
Is that a sponsor of this podcast?
No,
too?
No, but I mean that's Consumer Cellular. I think it's kind of
cool.
Like, yeah.
Who is the next pair to be featured in the Consumer Cellular?
I think it's gonna be you.
Me?
Yeah.
Me and who?
Is it always a pair? I don't think it's always a pair. Although I do think they already profiled Adam from your season, so probably they probably won't go back
to
the well.
You're telling me that I don't get to be a spokesperson for Consumer Cellular?
Yeah.
That's the real loss.
Yeah. They should tell Mike about Consumer Cellular because Consumer Cellular, I think that that's really like their demo. Consumer Cellular and AARP special member benefits. That it's for people that look, if you go to the website, guess who their spokesperson is? You'll never guess. It is a celebrity.
Paul Walker.
No, a celebrity.
Paul Walker.
a big celebrity.
Big celebrity. Biggest celebrity I could think about. Rachel Lico.
Ted Danson. Ted Danson, okay?
Oh!
And
I'm rewatching The Good Place.
AARP members receive not 15% off, but 5% off.
Wow. So, I was just listing people from our season. I wasn't close.
No, not yet. Not yet. But anyway, so... That's Consumer Cellular. All right, let's go to Applebee's, okay? Like one of the Survivor 22 cast members. Who do you think, Hannah, went to Applebee's this week?
Mike.
No, it was not Mike.
Well, Jonathan.
No, he better bring his credit card. He's going to need more than a few Simply Irresistibles to feed Jonathan.
I'm going to
Jonathan
need to
better win
the
million dollars because food is expensive.
He is eating them out of house and home.
Yeah, it was Omer went to Applebee's.
How was his experience?
I don't know if he updated it, but he put on Instagram. Finally, got to try at Applebee's from iftar tonight. No thanks to that big giant ball. Hashtag Applebee's. Hashtag Survivor 42. Hashtag raspberry lemonade. Hashtag and I guess that must have been as part of Ramadan.
This makes me like Omer even more because I missed out on the helicopter reward my season. And so I made Will, I made Will Wall promise me that we would go to a helicopter, do a helicopter ride after the show. And we did. And I love that, that Omer went to Applebee's, sort of an FU to who actually, you know, who actually won after the show. That makes me like him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then let's see, I got one more for you. Okay. Swathi. Remember Swathi? Mm-hmm.
I do.
Swathi.
I was her number one ally.
You were?
Yeah, she told me.
Okay. Swathi. Why did she tell you you were her number one ally?
Wasn't that her thing? She told everybody?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. Well, you said you knew Lydia. Like, I thought, like, you know everybody.
Oh, I did. No, I met two of the lovely people in this cast.
Okay. All right. Swathi said, who's hotter, me or at Zach Wirt? Hype me up in the comments. Hashtag Survivor.
Well, this is clearly a question for you.
Who's hotter?
Go for it.
Boy. Swathi got further in the game, but Zach has been thirsted for by contestants that are not even on the show. He was not on the show. Marianne was thirsting for him. So until Marianne says that Swathi is like primo dating candidate, I'm gonna say Zach.
All right.
No offense to Swathi, but nobody who's out there is thirsting for Swathi. Only Zach.
That is a bold thing to ask social media.
Yeah.
I know she's probably joking.
This cast is wild. I told you.
I was too scared to like talk about Survivor my season, let alone be like me versus this person. Right. Who's hotter?
Who's hot? That check out my butt. This cast. Give me free Applebee's.
Yeah. Thirsty and unapologetic. As you pointed out, I'm neurotically being like, how am I coming across? This cast is just like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I don't apologize for it.
And apparently,
it's all over their social media. Like,
wow, look at these these new survivors. They're taking over social media.
It's a new era.
Yeah.
I do they keep repeating that it's a new era and how hard it is to sort of like justify it being like day three. Is that what it is?
Yes, that is what it is. Okay. Oh yeah, I had one other one that was a sound clip that I pulled for you. So Jeff like really wanted to set the stage for that. They're going to negotiate for the rice.
Okay.
Okay. And this is what Jeff said when they walked in.
Clothes are hanging. Jonathan almost looks human.
Why do you have to say Jonathan almost looks human?
What does that mean? Wait, play it again.
Clothes are hanging. Jonathan almost looks human.
Yeah.
Jonathan, meaning he's not as buff? Is that a dig at him?
Yeah, I think it's like, he's like losing weight. I feel like he was getting like in even better shape. Like did he have too many muscles that he didn't look human and now he does?
He almost looks, instead of what, like a Greek god, mm-hmm. like he's just sort of like come down, he's been banished from the clouds and he's come down to earth and is withering into human form.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Is that not how you interpreted it? How did you interpret it as?
That I don't know, like, I guess that's what it is. It just seemed like that is like kind of mean to Jonathan.
Maybe Probst just has a crush like we all do.
Yeah. Or maybe now that he's like a little bit now, maybe Jeff feels like he can then bully him.
Pick on him.
Yeah, because he already calls him Mr. Jeff. And so maybe Jeff is feeling like oh, okay, like I'm his superior officer.
What is this Mr. Jeff thing? How many of them are calling him Mr. Jeff?
I think
Jeff?
Just Jonathan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that was the reason given, or is it just?
Just because he felt like it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Jeff. I think everyone should call him Mr. Jeff now.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that
it's very Jonathan's, like elementary school teacher.
I know. It's funny because Jonathan at one point, I think this episode was like, if I can eat more food, I can finally do better at the challenges again, mm-hmm. implying that he's weaker for the challenges,
it's not his fault that he's losing. Yes.
It's not his fault that he's still not losing, but I like the idea that everyone else becomes sort of emaciated, survivor, weak people, and Jonathan just has a moment where he feels like what it's like to be human.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if he's can just get his strength back.
At least that's how I hear the sound clip. I feel like clothes hanging. Jonathan looks human.
He does have giant clothes. Have you noticed that about Jonathan?
No. Isn't he just giant?
He's giant, but also his clothes are giant. Like, his clothes are actually like I wondered if he wanted to, like, if the giant clothes make him look smaller.
Does he have Jonathan? I don't. Jonathan?
Wait, are you Googling, does Jonathan have giant clothes?
No, I'm just Googling Jonathan so I can see an image. Yeah. Like, because I'm like,
Like, he's a giant, but you would think his clothes would be very tiny. He's a giant, but he has like clothes that hang off of him.
Oh, he does have these sort of big pants. You know what? He has sort of like.
You think he's lost so much weight? Pants. You think he's lost? That the clothes fit normal at the start of the season?
Giant pants. I think these are just what clothes look like on a giant person. I would like to thank anyone who is still listening to this podcast. It started very intense with the observations, and now we're discussing.
Yeah, all right. You think we lost Jonathan, the audience? We lost the audience?
I don't think we lost the audience. I just think the content has changed.
Yeah, all right.
2.5 hours in. No, all I'm right. just.
Okay, well, let's. Then, Hannah, is there anything else that you want to say about Survivor 42?
What do I want to say? I once again appreciate the cast in the midst of a lot of fake blood and. Mm-hmm. How many fake twists sweat, are in the game? How many twists are in the game at this point?
There's a lot. It's a lot. You got to stay on your toes. That's the new era.
Are you liking the season? Is this a positive season for you? Yeah.
I've been very happy with the season. I feel like this week's episode was just kind of like a straightforward boot with it being Chanel. That's why I kind of wish if they were going to do the thing with splitting the tribes up, they should have done it this week. But other than that, this has been, I think, a great cast, great season, loving Survivor 42.
Yeah, I think that I think I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think it's been really fun. Tori being immune has been surprising to a lot of us.
It's very surprising.
Yeah, I mean, they all have this whole shot in the dark and who is willing to take a shot mm-hmm. for immunity and who's sure. not willing to take sure. the shot. I think that it's made every vote. It's almost like you have to treat everyone like they could have an idol. And so that's made it a little bit, even with these easy votes, a little mixed up. I think what I was saying about Tori, though, is if it was further in the numbers, it might mix it up a little more. But like we've talked about, they've had a couple options each time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a straightforward episode, but also an unintentionally funny one, I thought, with the whole paranoia discussion.
Yeah.
I thought that was just like really, there was something funny about watching a bunch of people get angry at someone for knowing.
Yeah.
He was on the bottom.
Like, he doesn't like that, you know, we're talking about voting him out. We should vote him out.
I thought like, it was interesting. Did you think Chanel's play to just try to stay calm was the right one?
I mean, I think so. I mean that from what Chanel is hearing, like, okay, it's going to be Romeo. Romeo's acting crazy. Okay. All right. Good. Let me sit back. Like, you know, I don't have any issue with how she played this round.
Yeah, no, it's I like that she's like, I'm playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers.
She said in the exit interview, she said that backwards. So
touche. Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like if you're Chanel and it's like, all right, well, like they always say to you, and this is like when I went in Survivor All-Stars, it's like they're like, okay, I was being given a name, but nobody else was really seemingly feeling very paranoid. Like, obviously, the mark was me. If you're Chanel, it's like, okay, they're telling me Romeo. Romeo's freaking out. it makes sense that the vote is going to be Romeo. You know, why am I going to go and really try to mess this up?
Yeah, I think it is. There are certain positions that are hard to kind of claw your way out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my last question for you would be about the preview, right?
Yes.
This man's alliance.
Yes.
The men.
Yes.
Do you think that's gonna, you're as a man?
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to stick?
Yeah, we were talking earlier, and you were telling me how you really hoped that was going to happen finally on Survivor, that you'd like to see that.
I know.
Play out.
If you know anything about me, yeah. It's that
I actually don't think it's going to stick. It seemed like that in watching that back, that it's coming from Rox Roy. It seems like that Rox Roy, like, I thought that maybe like the guys were like trying to like get Rox Roy on board. It seems like Rox Roy is pitching that. I think it's the kind of thing that you say, oh yeah, sure. That sounds like a good idea, Rox Roy. But I don't think anybody is really going with Rox Roy's plan of like all guy alliance.
Yeah, we also have a lot of women with advantages. So like, if for some reason the men got the numbers and decided to try to run away with it, it's.
Yeah, I mean, and Rox Roy really isn't in the big alliance. Like he's like big alliance adjacent, but like Drea's in the big alliance, Lindsay's in the big alliance. So like, it's hard to imagine that Jonathan is throwing Lindsay away. That they're gonna necessarily like even that Rox Roy is gonna want to blindside Drea. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So, it's possible, but I actually would be surprised if it ends up holding where we end up seeing the like big like a guy's alliance, because it really is like Omer also part of that group. It seemed like that it was Rox Roy talking to Jonathan and Mike. That Jonathan, Mike, and High seem like they have a final three. It seems like that Omer, that might be the thing that, if it does stick even a little bit, it might be the thing that sort of like puts Omer to go into the mode of like, okay, let me pick up people on the bottom and then make a play. So I would be surprised if it happens, and then if it does happen, if it's successful.
Mm. And last prediction for you.
Yes.
If you had to put your money on who from this season will spend the next 10 years
talking to
podcasting
me?
With you every season, like I have.
Yes.
Enjoying.
Are you retiring? Are you passing the baton?
I hope not.
Okay. Are you giving up your spot?
Has this podcast made you feel that?
Okay. Who will talk to me? Okay.
Who will talk to you and establish themselves in the podcast world after this season?
Okay. It will, and it has to be mutual. It can't just be who I want.
Right. It has a mutual. Who do you think you are going to form a sort of a long-term friendship with?
Lydia.
You heard it here first. Mm-hmm. Lydia Chlamydia and Rob Cesternino will do a 420 podcast once
every
a season.
Year, every year.
And they'll do it.
Yeah.
With High support.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right. How about that? We'll do every season 20 questions about the fourth episode.
Yes. I think
with
that's
Lydia.
Great. I
good?
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
I feel great. Listen, I love the voicemail thing, and as many seasons as you'll have me, I'm happy to come and chat.
Okay. And you're happy with this one today?
I don't want to say yes and have the audience tell me no.
I'm very happy.
That's me of the past. I'll say I had a great time.
Yeah, what would Marianne say?
Marianne would be less neurotic than I'm being, as we've discussed. Marianne would say,
are you kidding me? This is a great podcast. And everybody's listening is like, oh my God, this is the greatest podcast I ever heard. And I'm just like loving it. And they're retweeting it. And this is great.
I have a blast. I had a blast chatting.
Yes.
I feel like, Rob, it's just chatting with an old friend at this point.
I love getting to catch up. These are only the lovers that are here at 2 hours and 35 some odd minutes.
2 hours and 34 minutes in. I really miss, getting to see everybody at the live events, but I
coming to the house.
coming to the house,
spilling coffee. Yes.
I'd love to wander around your North Carolinian woods.
Yes.
Have our dogs meet. We both have dogs now.
Wow. Will you be making a big coast to coast road trip this summer? Or that's only, you only do that if there's
that's
COVID.
The plan.
Yes.
No, it is the plan actually. Because, you know, I'd like to take my pup across the country and, you know, I think a road trip might be the way I do it.
Yes.
And so if I find myself in North Carolina with my pup,
please,
I would love our pup play date. I'd love to spill coffee all over your
please. That's how you could christen the house.
I mean, does it feel like a home without the coffee I've spilled?
No,
on it?
It does not. It just feels like that we are just visiting.
Yeah, it's. The walls are too unstained.
Yes, please. So that come in and leave your mark here on the new house. We appreciate it. We appreciate you being here with us and spending so much time. It is always a treat. We still have a lot to do this weekend. Nasir coming up.
Go see Nasir.
We have Nasir. Jessica Lease to talk about everything we've
Jessica
learned
Lease.
From this week on Survivor Academy.
If you want to follow along to my social media, yes. It's always at Hannah Lil Nessen, Twitter, Instagram,
always has
TikTok.
Been, always will be.
Yeah. Not to disrupt your end of show announcements,
no,
but yeah, go listen to Angelina too.
Yeah.
Compare and contrast. Play both podcasts at the same time. See if we speak in unison at any point. That's the challenge.
What a cacophony that would be of like two podcasts at the same time.
I hope I hear from y'all on social media.
You had brunch with Zach and bullied him out of pancakes. He was super nice about it. Did you go to Denny's?
Would you like me to tell you briefly for the 2 hour 40 minute people
yes.
the story of
give them
this?
Give them a treat.
Yes. So I went to brunch with a small group of Survivor people at a place that I love called Salt's Cure in Los Angeles. They have really good griddle cakes. But the best thing to do at Salt's Cure is there's a $20 like thing where you get pancakes, bacon, the whole works. And it's perfect splitting amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was describing this. I was saying you should split it. This is the thing to do. And Zach had found someone to split it with. And I said, anybody else? No one else wanted to split. And Zach said, oh, did you want to split with the person I'm splitting with instead? And I go, no, it's okay. Then he said again, are you sure you want to split? Mm-hmm. I go, no, it's fine. He goes, are you sure? I mean, I'm happy to not split. And I go, okay. And he goes, oh. And I go, yeah, you can't ask me three times if I want the better brunch deal. I'm going to say yes by the third time.
Okay.
And he could not have been more lovely as I took his pancakes right from under him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Zach was a great...
Seems like a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, sweet super fan. Lydia's just so cool and together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope that they, I don't know if they want to play again. I don't know.
Hope they get to play again if they want to. And if not, we wish them all the best. And we wish the listeners all the best for spending so much time with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you again.
You do a hashtag?
What's the hashtag?
Is that not a thing?
Well, you do it.
Oh, what did you call Jonathan's show?
Jonathan's show?
Subversion when he's a small time hero.
Is
that too?
The subverter?
The subverter, hashtag the subverter.
He subverts your expectations.
There was an earlier hashtag too that I thought was funny. If you're still listening, you're a rock star. Mm-hmm. I keep extending it. Rob keeps trying to end it, and I'm like, no, we will talk for another 3 hours. I want to beat Christian Hubicki's record. What was it, like 3.5?
I believe it was 6.
Okay, I'm not going to beat Christian Hubicki's record.
the record for a survivor. Yeah. But then we were recapping the whole season. Yeah. There's only one episode.
Wait, he went 6 hours?
Yeah, I believe so. Did that subvert your expectations?
I'm just not going to be anywhere near it. End this thing.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.